Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the darkest place in the world right now, apparently. This is a big event, and quite frankly, what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is you get a whole bunch of false sympathy and people sounding fake and repeating themselves all the goddamn time. They don't actually care who died, because they didn't know anybody. And there's actually nothing wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just give you an example of that before you judge me on this. A million dead Iraqis since the invasion of Iraq began. Do you give a fuck? You don't, do you? The media doesn't care either. But now we've had a shooting in New Zealand, and the media care very, very much. Which is kind of a little bit suspicious, wouldn't you say? But let's not cast aspersions without evidence. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a fantastic researcher by the name of Ollie Damagard. Ollie, welcome to the program again. It's been so long.
I know. Thank you so much, Winnie. I'm just sorry we meet because of these type of things.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to stop meeting like this. Now, we... Okay, so coming into the first part of the analysis, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to read out the post that I put out initially in response to these, and I'll just read them out here. Today, New Zealand suffered a double shooting in Christchurch mosques. In these times of crisis, let's focus on the evidence. Who was the shooter? What did they do? When did this happen? Where did it occur? How did it happen? And why? This case is not unprecedented, as New Zealand did have a mass shooting on a road called Every Street in the mid-90s. Those of you who might recall the Ashburton shooting. What we must do now is console the victims, but stay calm, let the facts come out before we make condemnations one way or the other. Kia kaha and be strong. So that's how I want to open this up. Now, Ole, you've reviewed a lot of this evidence in your own unique fashion, and indeed you've been talking with a man named Cody, who used to be in Black Ops, who allegedly was looking at the video and laughing at how obviously fake it was. Could you explain further?
I would first of all like to say that I've been doing this for some 35 years, and when I look at this case today, I'm a bit confused, because some of it looks really real, some of it doesn't. And so it's very, very important not to jump to any conclusion and just say, shout out, you know, right away, it was this, it was that, or whatever. So you really have to find the real truth, find the evidence, and then let the evidence show you the way. I would also very much like to say that over these all of these years, I've been traveling to most of the places here in Europe where alleged terror attacks have happened. I've been to multiple places in the US as well, where many of these mass shootings are said to have happened. And one of the things that I found over all of these years is that it's extremely important to find out who actually did it, just like you said in this list, because if you look in the wrong direction, you will come up with the wrong solution to whatever the problem is. And what I've found over and over again is that it's based on the old Roman template: problem, reaction, solution. The few in power, whoever they are, secretly create a problem. The reason they create this problem is for us, the normal person, to go into actual absolute fear mode, an emotional reaction. So we don't think, we just go into, oh my God, this is horrible. And so we turn towards the people we think are there to protect us, not understanding that they are actually the ones who carried it out. And they will then serve as their solution.
That's the reason why you're on the show right now, because I'm afraid and I feel like you can protect me, but go ahead.
Well, I cannot protect you, that is for sure. But so if it's one of these attacks, then their solution will every single time be the same. It would be more and more surveillance, more and more militarized police, more and more cameras, more and more body scanners, more and more backscatters, more and more cameras in the sky, satellites, you name it, for our protection, when it's actually them who have carried it out. And so it is very important also to understand the concept of a false flag operation. A false flag is an old naval term from the days when the British Empire was traveling around the world, plunder, rape, and death and destruction, or countries like Spain or Holland or whatever. But after a while, they had the military power to just crush everyone in the world. But sometimes that could really cause problems with trade agreements or neighboring countries. So somebody came up with the idea, why don't we put the enemy's flag on one of our own ships, and then we let one of our own ships attack ourselves, which will then put us in the position of being the victim, and that will then justify us invasion, rape, and plunder. So the exact same thing, but instead of them being the bad boy, they became the victim and were even applauded for being heroes for defending themselves. So it's a style. And this type of style, the most important thing to understand is that the attacked one is actually the attacker. The attacked one is actually the attacker. So in today's attack, either we're looking upon this as the work of a lone, fanatic, crazy, right-wing extremist that have, you know, wants payback for all of these alleged Muslim terror attacks around the world. And so he's gone in and done mass killing of Muslims. But is that actually what happened? Or are we looking at a false flag operation, state-sponsored terrorism, where it's actually the state that is doing it to us so that we will accept their solution?
That's right.
And very, very important to understand the difference.
And another thing, actually, that we came up in another interview, I believe, is that even if something is a false flag operation, that doesn't necessarily mean people don't get killed during these operations, you know? So often I feel this is very important for people to recognize, to have an emotional, shall we say, an emotional no man's land. Sometimes when you walk into a situation that is so extreme, where tensions are so high, you need to leave your emotions at the door, all right? And as cold and as calculating as that sounds, that is the best way that we can stop things from going out of control. Okay, so let's say theoretically, and I'm just spitballing here, the New Zealand military and police have been building up very, very recently and have been doing drills in the area. And indeed, there's been a whole lot of anti-Muslim sentiment ever since the immigration pact with the UN was signed. And now, convenient, perhaps even too convenient, a mass shooting happens at mosques and things like that to generate a whole bunch of public fear and public sympathy for these people who were previously getting protested against and didn't want to be, and people didn't want them to come into the country and things like that. So there's political, there's social, there's a whole bunch of different elements here, but ultimately authoritarianism becomes the be-all and end-all. Save me, Daddy, I feel afraid.
That's exactly it. And just like you say, they play both sides of the game. So in one incident, for instance, they blame it on the Muslim, like a Muslim terrorist that did this horrible thing to us. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Or they swap it around after a while so that it's one of us that is attacking one of them. But it's still the same scenario. It's still the same theme. And you get the emotions going either way. So it's very, very important to see that there is a possibility of us that we're being played here. And I think it's very important also to, just like you said, the question of if anyone was killed or not, that is not what a false flag is. Because sometimes these false flags are carried out killing real people, because what they're searching for is an emotional reaction. It needs to be on an international level, it's fear porn that they're selling, but they're trying to pump it out so that it will affect us all over the world instead of just on this local little area. So this whole thing about people being killed or not, that is a later question, because the people not getting killed, then we're talking about crisis actors or totally staged event. But sometimes you have real attacks. But the question is, who is attacking? Who is doing it to us? And so is it a crazy lone individual, or are there professionals that are carrying this thing out, killing real people to get the emotions going? That is a second question. So, and also very important to understand, I think, is that just because you see footage from a place doesn't mean that it's real footage from that event. Very often during these drills, the drills is always there if it is a false flag operation. Sometimes it's there as a security operation for our protection, or and sometimes it is preparation for a false flag attack. So it's very telling that there was these drills. There was massive drills in Churchtown and in Christchurch here, building up and even up to the very moment when this happened. So this footage that we have from this person running around inside the mosque, that very much like looks like filmed inside a computer game. The whole set, the way it's filmed, and the lacking of screaming or people trying to escape or running away, the lack of blood in many incidents. I mean, if we're looking at an automatic weapon at short range, there should it should look like a slaughterhouse, but that is not what we see at all. There are some, and I hope this is no disrespect to families and friends of these victims. If they are real victims, I really am not here to disrespect anything. But you have to understand as well that people can have been killed, and I know people on New Zealand who say that they know victims that are now in hospital. But that doesn't mean that the footage we're being shown is from the actual operation. It could very well be that the operation was carried out, real people were killed or wounded, taken to hospital. But the footage we're being shown is there as propaganda, pumping out this fear porn to get our emotions going.
What was interesting, and I don't want to make a very sad confession here, ladies and gentlemen, I felt guilty when I recognized that I was having this reaction. Nothing. I was watching the video, and there's every live stream that is showing the video. I've got the video right here, ladies and gentlemen. We could try playing it, but the live stream would disappear like that. Okay, the effort that I'm being seen by all the social media and everything like that to censor the raw video is extraordinary. I'd never seen anything like it, never in my life, and. This is an interesting thing, though. You know, I thought about, well, what if we play the audio and what have you? And even the video that I did watch, when the shooter was in his car, he turned the camera around on himself, and he might have said something, he might have not, but the audio was cut out of it, that kind of thing, out of the version that I was doing. What did he say? What was he doing? Was he on the radio to control, or was he coordinating with the other attackers at the other mosque or something like that so that they could do it simultaneously? Who knows? But there's this big chunk of missing audio like that, and that doesn't happen on a live stream, not in that way. The audio doesn't just drop to nothing for a little period of time and then just come perfectly back up again on accident. You know, people might freeze, or they might have things that are possibly a little bit similar, but nothing like that. So that was the first anomaly for me. The first thing the guy says on the video, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to describe the video basically from start to finish. First thing, the guy says, subscribe to PewDiePie, all right, and let's get this party started. He turns on some German folk music, drives down the road, then it turns into military march music. And then he gets out of the car with a rifle that has an LED flasher on the end, so that when you're pointing it at enemies in the dark, it'll flash in their face and they won't be able to see anything while you're shooting them. And he gets into the back of his car, he opens it up, and there's petrol cans in there, there's guns everywhere, that kind of thing. He grabs a shotgun out, so he walks into the mosque, and the first person he sees standing in the doorway of the mosque, he opens fire with a shotgun, starts firing. He starts moving forward, other people inside the mosque. No screams, no nothing like that, just firing over the top of him. Comes inside the mosque, and there's a big hallway with doors on the other side and complete section ways. He doesn't check his corners. He just runs in and he just kind of fires wildly. And he runs out of ammunition on his first mag. He reloads. He gets into this big massive prayer hall, and that's when people are hugely clustered on one side of the hall and the other in big piles of, you know, just huddling together. And he just empties clips into these huddled people. And then he runs back into the hallway to reload, comes back out of the hallway and starts emptying clips into these people, comes back into the hallway, reloads, goes back in and starts executing them one by one by one, headshot, 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 robotic, nothing. The emotionless way in which I'm portraying this right now, ladies and gentlemen, that's as emotionless as I felt when I was watching this. This was surreal. It was strange. There was something in my brain that didn't quite connect what was going on in front of me, because I've seen real footage of real people getting in real accidents and having real gunfire. Something was off to me. Something was off to me. But I didn't know exactly what that was, but the same impact that I would normally have from seeing innocent people being slaughtered by the dozens with semi-automatic rifle fire, I was just like, why am I not having an emotional reaction? What is it that my brain sees that I can't say in my mouth? What is it that I'm not understanding here, Ole?
Well, I think you described it pretty accurately. It wasn't a shotgun. It was an automatic weapon. And
He used the shotgun just to enter the mosque, but then he switched to the automatic as soon as he was inside.
Okay. There's one thing, when he walked down the pavement and before he turned into the courtyard, before he entered into the mosque, there were a couple there standing. And I mean, he came fully like in a SWAT team uniform with an automatic weapon. And the people on the pavement, they didn't even stop and look at him like terrified or surprised. They just looked at him, gave him a glance and looked the other way. Very strange non-reaction for something like that. Then he goes in through the courtyard. There's one car with a back door open, which is a little, I don't know if that has any importance, but it's a little unusual. Then he goes there and does exactly what you say. He empties, there are two people in the entrance, and he starts firing at them. But there's a lot of gun smoke there, which is not normal with the modern type of gun smoke. It's that looks a little bit more like black powder. Or the not modern type gunpowder. And then he enters in just like you say, no screaming, there's no shouting, there's no, people are running, but it's like in a computer game. It's not, I mean, the normal reaction when something like this happened, I've been to war zones in several countries. I mean, people freak out. They beg for their lives. They scream. They try to, there's nothing. There's no adrenaline, there's nothing here. And from the shooter's point of view, he's very cold. And also this whole thing, why does he back out into the corridor every time to reload? That is what you do in computer games. That is not, there was no reason for him to do that at all. He could have just kept reloading. And also the impact on the body, it's first when he goes around and do these body shots in the end that you see any kind of impact on the people. And also when you start looking at the exact way that he's firing around, there's people on the ground that he didn't shoot at. There's especially one man lying with his head in under a bench that was never hit, but he's still lying there. And then he goes in and out of the corridor reloading, just like you say, for no apparent reason. And then he leaves, he goes out, he goes back to the car, takes another another weapon, just drops the automatic rifle on the ground, which you don't do if you've got any kind of experience with guns, because you just don't, and if they're still loaded they can shoot your foot off or whatever. He just drops it to the ground, then grabs a new one and runs back in and starts doing the whole thing again. And also if you look in the street, there's no traffic passing, there's nobody calling the police. He comes back into this mosque again, and now there's music that was not there to start with, not that I noticed anyway. There's quite loud music, and he walks around executing people and then goes out again. And then also when he drives around, he fires out through the front window. He shoots through the window. I mean, I've never seen anyone do that at all. I mean, you could get glass, you could get anything in your face. The whole, as far as I know, I mean, the whole window shield would just crack there would be holes through it, but it would crack, but I couldn't see anything. And then he fires out through the side window as well, totally breaking it. But I can't see what he's shooting at all. So the whole thing is just very strange. And then the second shooting, I don't know if there's any footage at all from that one or any photos from the second mosque where
haven't it seen
said,
that one, no.
And no, and there's I have another friend who's a whistleblower as well. Chip Tatum is his name. He was the commander of George Bush Senior's private hit team for many years. It was called Pegasus, and he carried out at least 14 assassinations. So he's the real deal. And he was involved in these type of operations as well. And he said sometimes when there are false flag operations, the thing that they're looking for is this emotional reaction from us. And so they're following the whole event, you know, from different offices. And so absolutely live following, are we accomplishing the emotional effect or do we need to amplify it? And very often, if they don't get it with the first attack, they will do a secondary one just to amp it up. And this is what we see here again. You know, like when they chopped off the head of the soldier this alleged head chopping of a soldier called Lee Rigby in Watford, London. Absolutely not true event. I went there, I totally exposed it. But when that happened, they made an almost identical event in Paris with this English soldier there to get the impact going. And here we see the exact same thing. Everybody's focused on the first mosque. They didn't really get the reaction they wanted, and boom, there's a second attack. But you see no footage there. I have seen nothing from that mosque at all. So I'm asking, what is that? I tell you, Cody Snodgrass that we mentioned before, who looked at this shooting with his expertise background, he was saying this is an absolute joke. The whole footage is an absolute joke. Yet again, please don't be aware of that. I'm not saying that people didn't get killed. I'm talking about the footage itself, the video we're being shown. It is very possible that people got killed, but this is not what we see on this video.
Yeah, well, it's about staging, essentially. You have to make sure that shock is out there, and essentially, what happens with the human brain, ladies and gentlemen, when you go into shock? There's three parts of your brain. One of them cares about people, one of them cares about ideas, and one of them cares about your survival, okay? If you are thrust immediately into a survival situation, like, oh my God, there's people around with guns everywhere and they're trying to kill everybody, that stops you from thinking, it stops you from caring, and it starts you immediately thinking about yourself and your own survival. That's the idea behind shock and awe, because people who cannot think in a crisis situation will get slaughtered. And the same thing is happening right here in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake, they have been trying to arm the police. They've been trying to hype up fear and all of that kind of stuff right in the lead up to this, as well as having drill operations at the same time in the same place. There's too many coincidences to ignore them. But, of course, the term false flag, and I hate to actually beat this dead horse again. All right. The term false flag, as Ole said, doesn't mean that people didn't really die. Okay. People get sacrificed all the time for political aims. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the government doesn't care about you or anybody else. The government is a fictional entity. It doesn't really exist. So if you expect it to throw its arms around you and give you a hug and comfort you in your time of crisis, it won't. If you think it must act like me because I'm a good person, I'd never do something like that, it won't. Terrorism, according to the definition, is a system of government, much like communism or fascism. The hallmark of terrorist governments is that they frighten their people into going along with their agenda. Do you feel frightened
it's
now, ladies and gentlemen?
It's management by fear. That's the key. Management by fear. This is how all the way back to the Roman Empire and so on, where a small little group of people have been in a situation where they wanted to control the masses. There's only been one way they can do that, and that is through psyop, 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 psyops, and with the help of fear. It's only if we're fearful that we will accept their agenda. And by the way, as far as I know, the word government means governmente, means mind control, control the mind. That is what the word government means. And in Swedish and Spanish and so on, the word for government, regering, that means rulers. So it's in our face. They're not, it's sort of like we're buying into it, but it's right in our face. But another thing I want to point out also is that over all of these years where I put myself in harm's way many times when I've gone straight to these operations right when they happened, I have over the years managed to predict 15 of these things on international radio up to 2 months before they happened. So the question is, how on earth have I been able to do that? Am I super intelligent? I think not. Ask my wife, she will totally agree. Have I got a crystal ball? No. So how have I been able to do it? It's even at a point where my last name has been turning into a verb. If you take hashtag Damagard, you will see that people are Damagarding, finding these clues about upcoming attacks. And the reason why I've been able to do this is because in the fall of 2014, I was contacted by an insider who said that you're doing great, but you're missing out on the clues. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean clues? And he said, you have to understand the people in these operations leave clues in the forensic evidence. And I said, why on earth would they do such a stupid thing? I mean, that is just absolute brain dead to do something silly like that. He said, the reason they do it is because it's for their own sake, because the way they interpret the law of karma, which is what you do gets back to you. The way they interpret it is if they show us what they're up to, even in subtle ways, and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. And in addition, if they show us we do not react and they manage to pull it off, then that they even gain good karma. I mean, if you ask me, that is a totally twisted way of seeing it. But according to this individual, that is the way they interpret it, the people that are doing these things to us. So from the fall of 2014, I thought, is this a mad person? Or I mean, who was he? I don't know. He was anonymous. But I started looking into it, and that was when I started finding out he is absolutely, totally correct about this thing. So at that point, there were four of these that I was suspecting that could be connected by the things I found. The first one was an attack outside Dublin at a power plant. That happened. Then the Charlie Hebdo shooting happened. So that was two out of four. The next two of them were Copenhagen and Florence in Italy. So that was the very first time where I went out on international radio saying, you know, risking to look like an absolute idiot, but saying, please, please be aware there is a possibility that there could be an upcoming attack here in Copenhagen. And if so, there will be a drill. So please, if anyone knows about a drill in Copenhagen around this time, let me know. It took like 2 hours, and a guy called me back. He said, I took this photo of this poster. They're going to have a drill tonight, this very evening, at a train station in central Copenhagen. And it was exactly ticking the boxes of one of these setups. So I went on Kevin Barron's show and several other ones trying to stop this from happening and saying, please, please be aware. If what I'm suspecting is correct, then there will be a hit here around that train station tonight. So I asked people on location to go there, bring cameras, bring friends and families, and film them, because that is one totally nonviolent but very efficient way of possibly stopping these attacks. So that very night, absolute zero happened. So I thought, well, at least I did what I could, but who knows? Maybe I was totally wrong. Then 1 month later, on the exact hour, boom, it happened right near to that train station. So I thought, holy crap, that's three out of four So then I went out on international radio once again and said, please, please, people in Florence, be aware if there's an upcoming drill or anything like that. It turned out that ISIS, the boogeyman, I mean, once you start looking into ISIS, you will find that it's absolutely not what we're being told, but it's these forces, their boogeyman, helping them to scare us so that they can come with their solution. So they had planned an attack on Florence and it failed. So from then on, I started finding and tracking down these clues. And what I found was that we're looking at not terror attacks happening in a certain country. We're looking at a global operation, according to the New World Order, where they're using the same tactics from country to country to country. So it's what we're looking at are NATO countries or countries that are connected that have different security agreements with NATO. So it's NATO, the US, Canada, Australia, very rarely New Zealand, but sometimes. Then sometimes you've got some North African countries, but more or less these are the countries. And then it just goes around and around and around and over and over again, very often in the same police district, same areas, just pumping us up with this feeling that we're being attacked by Muslim terrorists all over the place. And like I mentioned before, I've been to so many of these places. I've been with undercover cameras. I've been at cemeteries. I've been high schools trying to get death certificates, birth certificates of victims. I've been trying to track down witnesses. I've been measuring angles. You know, the whole shebang that normal forensic detectives should do but are not doing. And so I should be a super expert on Muslim terrorists. But I tell you, I haven't yet to encounter one real terrorist, one real Muslim terrorist. Instead, what I keep bumping into are operations where Muslims are being blamed for it. They are the patsies that are being pointed out, saying it was Muhammad Allahakbar and Allah Akbar with the ISIS flag. He did it. But this is not when I start digging into it. What I keep bumping into are state-sponsored terrorism, Gladio carried out attacks by NATO troops or fortunes of soldiers of fortunes, private contractors, also from the Gladio network, carried out where the governments in these different countries are working together according to the New World Order. And also what I find very, very important is, for instance, at the Fort Lauderdale shooting at the airport 2016, I believe, it was, I found the clues for the Melbourne car attack. At the Melbourne car attack, I found the clues for the Westminster Bridge attack. At the Westminster Bridge attack, I found the clues for the Stockholm attack. At the Stockholm attack. So we're looking at a global operation, just like a rock band on tour that are traveling from country to country, NATO countries, carrying these operations out.
It's like symbolism and numerology.
That is part of it, but it's way, way more advanced than that. They leave the clues in the forensic evidence. Very often it is in one photo where they pack it with different things that will then point to the next one. Just as an example, let me take, for instance, the Bataclan shooting in Paris. There was only one photo from inside this music theater where there was this mass murder that was carried out at an audience at a rock concert, they say. And the photo shows all of these bodies lying around. And then around them and also under them are painted like a massive big heart painted in blood. We're talking like a 5 foot wide, like a 5 foot wide brush that painted like a heart around these bodies. Massive. It's massive. It's the whole room inside the Bataclan. You can find it on YouTube. And so it's the only photo from inside. That then led to the Brussels airport attack, where the Brussels airport has the exact logo of that heart, but it's not a heart. It's the mixture of a heart and a bird in the blood color, very, very red. Then at the Brussels airport attack, the one that was the clue I found for the Paris attack that followed was that there was this cafe at the airport that was way far away from where the bombs are said to have gone off. And I only discovered that because I went to the airport. I mean, you have to go on location. And in the background, there were, in this photo, there were a lot of debris and furniture turned over. But since I was there, I knew that the cafe was in a totally different part of the airport. So why on earth was there any destruction there? So I started looking into that photo. And then on the wall in the back of the of this photo, there's a massive big wall painting. I'm not talking about a normal painting. I'm talking about the whole wall being painted. And the painting they painted is the Eiffel Tower lying down. Why on earth would, have you ever seen a painting of the Eiffel Tower lying down? I don't think so. It doesn't make any sense. So I thought, oh my God, here it is. So I went out once again on international radio where all of this has been archived, and in my newsletter as well, I can show exactly how I connected these dots. I also just came home from a conference in Mexico where I did a presentation called Damaguarding, the Ultimate Dot Connector, where I pointed out the exact things I found that pointed from this to that, from this point to that one, from this operation to the next one. So either I'm onto something, well I think my track record is quite impressive. It's a bit difficult to discuss or to criticize if I managed to predict 15 of these during 4 years. That is quite a high percentage. So if what I'm saying is correct, then you have to look at what went down in New Zealand, not as a New Zealand attack. It is part of the New World Order attack on the Western world, trying to get the New World Order agenda in place. And they go from country to country and just knock them out one by one by one, trying also to create problem reaction solution, to create a situation where we need to militarize the police, because the idea is that they want the end result of the New World Order. One of the parts is that they want a one world army, not there to protect us, there to control us. So they need all of these so-called problems to militarize the police so that we will not notice that suddenly we got tanks in the streets and Robocops walking around with bazookas and machine guns. We're just applauding it, thinking, oh my God, thank God they're here to protect me. Well, one day, suddenly they would close the gate and say, no, sorry, we're not protecting you. And you are on inside the jail, a beautiful digital jail controlled by military that is not there for your sake. It's there to control you. So I would suggest that this is part of what we're seeing in New Zealand. And if you see the whole buildup of how this took place, the whole thing that has been going on in New Zealand, coming up to the point where this mass shooting, boom, 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 bang, 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 suddenly they can move all of these things into place thanks to the problem reaction solution. So I guarantee you that you will see your government saying, well, because of this horrible thing, we will have to upgrade all type of security measures. We will have to arm the police, bring in bazookas. I'm exaggerating, but not a lot. You will also, I guarantee you, you will find that their budget plans for things that they would put in place, these budgets will already have been prepared for this thing to happen. It normally takes like 2-3 days, but they would come up with like 500-600 pages of this and this, and we need like 40 millions for this and 20 million. You do not do that overnight. But in these cases, yeah, because they need to ride the wave when they can, when the emotions are still there, when people are still in shock, that's when they move forward. So I can guarantee you that this is what you will see the next few days here, if it's not already happening.
Yeah, I was going to say that's basically already happening and already in the lead up to it. I'm not sure if I sent you the article by Ben Vigen, did I?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Well, it says, here come the armed police state, like we didn't see that coming. And
there you go.
He chronicles, like, and there's like, the Christchurch shootings are a tiny part of the article, and the article is long, and it's actually going point by point, literally from A to Z, of every little terrorist thing that's happened in New Zealand, every little thing that's been involved with organised crime, every time they've tried to arm the police, and every time they try to do any of this stuff, the drills on the day, and so on and so forth. He's just a machine. And he was in Coromandel right now, so he wasn't able to come on the live stream or anything like that. But I'm going to read that out in its fullness for the audience once you have to go to bed, Ole. In fact, I will send you the goddamn link. In fact, there we go. I will do that, and then you can read it at your leisure, because you're quite busy right now. Eh? You've got a presentation tomorrow or something.
Yeah, it's and also every time things like this happen, I get contact from all over the world. Also because I become sort of like a headquarters for when it comes to these operations, where people send me information from all over, especially when there are upcoming drills and so on. So I'm trying, you know, I get information, I send it out, I get people activated on ground. Wherever these drills goes down, I try to send people with cameras and so on, so that they can help stop it. Because the whole idea is that these operations are being set up days ahead. This is where the drills come in. The drills are normally there so that they can close off an area, the traffic, they can get rid of us, the normal people. They don't want us to see what's going on. Close off the area, get vehicles in position, get explosives, smoke bombs, whatever is needed, crisis actors if they are needed, directors, military experts, cameras, lighting, all of these things. It looks normally almost like a film stage, or very often it looks identical to a film shoot. And it's during the drill as well that many times these high quality images, they would be the ones they are taken during the drill and then pumped out afterwards, because they need to make sure that they have all of these good images, because that's the whole point of it, the fear porn product to send out globally. This is also during the drill that they have what I call the catwalk of death. You know, this very often if there's been a vehicle attack or a mass shooting or whatever, you have this person, you never know who that person is, who walks around with a video filming very blurry, walking around among the victims. And most of the time the victims are just sitting there with their backs to the camera, so you can't see who they are. And it's too blurry for you to get any real details. That is part of the operation, there to add to the emotions again. So, and then when the thing goes down, you often also have that there's video footage shot during the drill. But then when the operation goes live, the live stream is a mix of real live footage and what was filmed from the drill, during the drill. So sometimes have a look at the sky behind, you know, when they say, oh, this is live footage now, it's coming in now, live footage. Check from different angles the different parts of the story when they show you. And look at, for instance, the angles of the shadow, look at clouds in the sky, and you will very often see, well, the clouds there, and then they go to the next camera, boom, no clouds at all. You will see the shadows are like that, and then suddenly they're like this, because it's a mix of from the drill and live footage. So you have to become aware of these things to start to deconstruct what we're actually being fed.
Well, that's an interesting point as well that we need to put again, which again nails back that thing, what if a drill goes live, okay? And people don't understand this kind of thing. It's like, oh, we're drilling everything for fire safety or something like that. Don't worry, there'll be a few flashing lights, there'll be a few things that way, and it'll be fine. And then all of a sudden the building explodes beside you and you're like, oh my God! And they're like, no, it's just a drill. It's just a drill. Just walk away. No, nothing to see here or anything like that. Okay, that's a drill. But when you're getting something like this, which is just crazy, man. And I think this is another thing that happened yesterday, and an unrelated topic. There was a poll done by the mainstream media the day of the shooting. It says, should all children be forcibly vaccinated before being allowed into public schools? and 78% of the respondents, yeah, yeah. And my friend Christiane van Wyk, she commented, I'm giving up on humanity. And I said, no, don't do that. Just give up on 78% of humanity, okay?
No, but listen, are you saying to me that they asked 78% of the population? Did they ask you?
I have serious doubts. I have serious doubts about that. But
no, yeah. it's just a number they put up there. Mm. And by the way, with these vaccines, if your child, if you believe in in vaccination, then if your loved ones are vaccinated, what's the problem? Then you won't be hurt. So why make it mandatory? It's a whole different story, but we're talking about the same agenda. These vaccines are lethal. I tell you, we have not vaccinated any of our kids. My wife has never been vaccinated. And if anyone came close to anyone of my kids with one of these needles, I would fight them like if they had had an axe, you know, or a machine gun. It would be the same threat to me.
Respond with deadly force. But that wasn't what I was meaning.
I know.
What I was meaning is how we react to things in the media and all these stats and things like that, 49 dead or whatever. What it does is it creates an emotional reaction. Now, essentially, what I want to explain to people here is this. Your emotional reactions are supposed to work like this. You see a guy coming at you with a stick. You think about the implications of that a little bit. And then you react to it. Okay, normal human function. What we're trying here is a limbic system malfunction. So that means it takes out the middle process. You see a guy coming at you with a stick, you react. Okay, and without even thinking about it, without even considering it, and that kind of thing. So if you're in the chat rooms of places and things like that, and you get these big emotional reactions from people because you're analyzing evidence without emotion, what is wrong with you? You are horrible people. And I go, that's why. That's why we do it without emotion. Because when you do it with emotion, your brain isn't working. Okay, it's just that simple. Don't make any mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. We're fighting for our lives, okay? And this incident is merely just one symptom of the system that we face, a tiny little symptom. It's a single pimple on a crackhead, you know, like that's just encrusted with the stuff. And it's got so many facets to it that I wanted to get into during this broadcast. So, Ole, how much more time do you think you'd be able to give us?
Like half an hour or something.
Another half an hour. Do you want to start getting into the evidence or keep discussing?
I would very much like to, for anyone interested, and I think it would be a good idea at this point to be interested because it's actually your life that is it's happening to. I did a presentation called Terror, Are You Kidding Me? And you can find it on YouTube. I did it at the Open Mind Conference in Denmark. And in that presentation, I try to do it very clearly. I go step by step by step, how they do it, what things are used, what vehicles that are used, how they shut off areas, how they, the whole psyop, the different ingredients and so on. And a lot of people have reacted extremely positive because they say, oh my God, I had no idea, but now I know what to look out for. And so it's like a breakdown. I try to make it funny as well. Because I show examples where you just like, are you shitting me? I mean, it's so bad sometimes that you just cannot believe. I'll give you an example. Like do you remember the mass shooting, Anders Breivik in Norway?
In fact, I was going to mention that because this is something Kurt Richard Haskell told me before the show, is that the... what was it? The manifesto that the mosque shooter released was identical to the one the Unabomber released, was identical to the one Anders Breivik released to a large degree as well. And this kind of thing, it's basically he said that what these people in control are so lazy that they don't even come up with new manifestos for their agents to go out and shoot people with. They just use the same thing every time. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, it's recycling. And I've been to Norway, I've been to outside the prison, I've been to the island, I was almost arrested in Norway. And so I've done incredible research into that, thousands of hours. And I've done a presentation called When Terror Struck Norway, which is, it breaks it down once again, very doop bitty boop bitty boop. And you will see, I want to point out the thing you said about drills, because that is very, very important. Like in, for instance, in Norway, you had, there was a drill with the more or less the exact scenario of the government building blowing up. And the drill ended 13 minutes before the exact same scenario happened in real life. I mean, what are the chances? Then you have the 7/7 bombings. There were more than 1,000 people involved in a drill with the exact scenario of four different subway stations being blown up and a bus. And then that drill went live. So many people that were part of the drill didn't even know that it was live. So this is also why you see there's police standing when people are coming up from the subway stations. I mean, they're blown to pieces.
I just had a realization here. That's why you get so many of these unemotional testimonies directly after this thing. You know, the people aren't crying. They're not shocked or anything like that. They still think it was a drill. And then the news interviews them. They give these unemotional kind of, and the blah, blah, blah. They're actually just reading a script. And maybe later on, they'll find out, oh, my God, this actually happened. You know, that kind of thing. This wasn't just a drill. And maybe they get bumped up. Who knows? Just something that occurred to me. I'm so sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, you can hear. There was even one person that was interviewed about this thing that happened in Christchurch that said it looked exactly like a drill. And this is quite a normal thing for people to say. It didn't look real. It just like looked like a stage thing. I don't know. But there was people shooting and I don't know what happened. There's no emotions. You have when the Stockholm truck attack happened, there were three drills upcoming to that, three different drills, and with the exact same scenario where there was in the exact same building where it happened with an explosion. Now it was a truck that happened. So there's hospitals, even they even knew how many people to expect as victims when it happened, you know, so It's incredible. Then you have 9/11. There were 20 different drills ongoing, making it a totally confused situation, because you can also hear in the radio communication with the flight towers and so on. They're like, is this a drill or are we live? Is it real? Is it not? You know, the confusion around these drills and what actually happened. It's standard procedure, absolute standard procedure.
That reminds me as well, the OSS, which later evolved into the CIA, was created during World War II for one purpose and one purpose only, to confuse the enemy. All right. Now, how would they do that? You know, they'd hijack whole trains of Nazi mail and replace them all with fake letters and mail and try to sow dissent within the ranks and try to confuse people about where people are and what they actually think and who they really are, you know, that kind of thing. And there was so much confusion within the ranks of the Nazis that they were virtually defenseless against the Allied attacks, because they didn't know if their left foot was their left foot or their right foot was their right foot, let alone where the next attack was coming from. And that's the same thing that's happening now to the general public, ladies and gentlemen, because after World War II, the CIA had new enemy, the entire world's consciousness. And I believe the former CIA director, was once quoted as saying, when our disinformation campaign is complete, everything the American people believe will be the opposite of the truth.
Yeah, there was William Casey. But you also got the agencies that I keep bumping into when looking in deeply into these operations, because they try to keep themselves in hiding. But these are the forces you encounter, are the CIA, the Mossad. Mossad is there so very often. And MI6, depending on where you hit, financed by Israel, US and Saudi most of the time when these type of operations occur. And the motto of Mossad is war by deception. If you look at Israel's history, I'm not talking about Israel as a country, but a rogue element within this nation, they were the ones that came up with the concept of terrorism and how to carry it out. And this whole war of deception, how to totally scare the freaking Jesus out of us so that they can control us. So it's standard procedure, absolute standard. It's just another day at the office.
Yeah. In fact, even in the days of the formation of Israel, you had organizations like the Stern Gang, the Ergen,
who were the
bombers of the King David Hotel or something like that. It's homegrown terrorism. Oh, isn't this bad? Oh, we need it. We need our agenda to be pushed through. Otherwise, bad stuff like this will happen by these people we're totally unaware of and unrelated to and didn't finance and didn't coordinate and didn't give state support of our intelligence service to cover up their operation and assist their fucking escape. You know, we didn't do any of that. But you did. You did, didn't you? And that's the problem with ordinary people, ladies and gentlemen. You don't think like the people who are in control, because the ordinary people in control are not like you. All right? And I'm not talking about the average person who's got like maybe $100,000 a year or even $1 million a year or something like that. I'm talking about you could throw away couples of billions and it would mean nothing to you. That's the people in control of society, ladies and gentlemen. If you think you're rich or wealthy or middle class or anything like that, not only do you have zero power in this scenario, but you also have zero possibility of the people in control ever caring about you or considering you before they consider themselves and their agenda. What's their agenda? Worldwide enslavement, dumbing down the entire population, and a dark age that they can rule over for all of humanity for the entirety of eternity, ladies and gentlemen. And they will live for eternity because they will transfer themselves into non-biological entities, post-human, so that they can live longer as machines, and they will be able to go around and do anything they want in our society. Man, that girl looks really nice. I think I might rape and kill her. You walk right up to her, rape her in the street, kill her, anything like that. Even if the security forces and everything walk up to you, they'll scan you and you go, oh, you've got one of those chips. Okay, sorry sir, to bother you. Keep going. That might sound a little bit funny and a little bit freaky, ladies and gentlemen, but it's coming, okay? And if you don't think it's coming, ladies and gentlemen, you're part of the goddamn problem. This is just a symptom, this shooting, ladies and gentlemen. This is just one live stream on one goddamn day that you should have been listening to on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, because we're getting into so much freaky shit, ladies and gentlemen, that it will give you an aneurysm, and then we'll tell a joke which will, you know, diffuse that aneurysm. But the point is here, things are a lot more complicated than they always first appear. Okay, and we need to be able to be open to the fact that there are broader agendas that seemingly don't have any connection, but if you look, if you really, really look, there are connections, undeniable ones, frightening ones, that will make you depressed. You can get angry, you can deny it, you can try and bargain with these people, but eventually you'll realize that you can't do that anymore and you'll get depressed. Maybe after you get depressed you'll accept it. But most people will simply wallow in depression for the entirety of their existence after they find out the truth of how this world is really run. I'm not one of those people.
Well, I'm starting to get depressed by listening to it. But the thing is, it's very important also, I think, for us not to spread fear, because then we're just doing them a favor. Because it's only through fear that they can help us. At the same time, super important to spread the information just like you do. And I think your platform is fantastic in doing that. So I applaud you for so. But I remember I spoke to Chip Tayson, the CIA whistleblower, who worked under all the presidents from Nixon and all the way up to George Bush Sr. as a hitman. He was also one of the pilots in the Iran-Contras and so on. And so he's seen this beast from the inside. He really has seen the darkness of this beast in many different forms. And I asked him once, I said, I've been looking into these things for so many years and I just don't get it. I don't understand how they think, how they function, or why they do these things to us. And he said, the only reason you don't understand it is because you're not a psychopathic killer. If you were, these things would make perfect sense to you. And I think he's got a point there, because just like you say, they do not think like we do. We would never do these things to each other. Maybe we would be capable of it, but most of us would never do it. But these people, or whatever they are not in that position. They do it. They have no problems with this. There are no conscience that would go in there, or empathy that would stop them or anything. They would just crush us if we allow them. Mm. So I, for one, just like you, I'm not taking it. I will do everything I can to totally nonviolent, but totally fearless as well. Go into the belly of the beast and just shine the light in there, into the darkest of the darkest corner, and let the truth, the light of truth, do the work. Because that is also the only thing they fear. They fear the truth. This is why they try to censor us. This is why there's all of this YouTube shutting down, Google messing with us. I mean, it's ridiculous. Facebook, it's become like in 1984. I'm on the constant, attack from many different areas. My Facebook, there are fake things coming up posted by me. I've got fake Twitter accounts. I have no idea who's posting it. You're really trying to make me look bad. I've got my YouTube channel was terminated, losing lots and lots of videos.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I know how it feels.
No, but it's part of, it's just accept to just accommodate. That's the way I see it. If you only take incoming when you're above the target, so it just shows that we're on the right track and that we're making a difference. Because really, if you look at it, if they were so powerful the way they want us to believe they are, would they care about us? I mean, really, they wouldn't give a crap. You know, I think so, if they were really powerful, but they're not. They're very weak. Most of the people in these groups are old men, no power, no potency, no nothing. They got money and they got a position where they can look scary. But it's just like the Wizard of Oz. You pull the curtain and you see that this is a weak little old individual that where the only power is he's got a microphone and a massive big amplifier, which is mainstream media and governments. And so where he can keep screaming at us, I'm powerful and you are weak. That is what they want us to believe. But the only thing we need to do is switch off the amplifier, boom. And then it's like, you know, like if you got like Stalin or whatever, if you look at it, he wasn't that tall. He was a fear dictator, absolute fear masculine. But put a big fat lady on top of him, he would be nailed down. You know, his personal power, he would not be able to move at all. It's only because we do it for them. They give an order and we do it. So I would very much suggest that all of us look in the mirror and say, am I in any way or form part of this machine that is trying to destroy the world? Because the way this whole thing is set up, the whole design of this PSYOP is that it's totally compartmentalized. We're not supposed to understand what we're actually doing. We're just cogwheels in a machine. But just like on a gearbox on a car, if you take out one little cogwheel, the whole thing crashes. So people in the banking, people working in FEMA camps, plumbers, electricians, people in the military, in the SWAT teams, in the police, in these different intelligence agencies or FBI, CIA, whatever, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what the hell am I doing in this place? And I'm being contacted by people from all over, you know, many times in the military and police and many of them very afraid. They signed up for something and now they find out that they're part of something totally different than what they thought they were. Now they're part of the problem instead of part of the solution. And they don't know who to trust. They don't know where to go. You know, and many of them are just on the verge of becoming whistleblower and stepping out. So I'm very much encouraging. Anyone I can assist in stepping forward as a whistleblower, I helped several do that, and it's the effect has been remarkable. You know, also because these brave people, that just their courage, that sort of really boosts other people in the same situation.
I had a conversation with Dr. Bruce Levine yesterday, who's an author of Anti-Authoritarian or some book like that, right? And we got into this conversation about the Milgram experiments, and I'll just explain this for the audience because it actually really relates to what we're talking about here. They got a whole bunch of people to sit in a chair with a guy in a lab coat telling them what to do. What he was telling them to do is ask somebody on the other part of some dark glass so they couldn't see them to answer some questions. And if they got the question wrong, then it'd give them an electric shock. And the person on the other side of the thing will scream or writhe around or go silent like they're dead or something like that. And this experiment showed a couple of things. First thing it showed was that even ordinary people, approximately 60% of people, would kill another human being if an authority kept insisting that they do it. No, I mean, they'll dissent, all right? But the thing is, people who are in power don't give a fuck if you dissent. You've seen a million people in a protest or something like that. Did anything change? What was interesting, though, is the other part of the experiment, where they got somebody in front of one of these people not to dissent, but to disobey. And they found that when people disobeyed, and they disobeyed for the right reasons, the vast majority of people, closely 90% of people, would also successfully disobey behind them. This is your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody is potentially a killer. Everybody is also potentially a hero. And you need to be heroic if you want to bring that out in others. Courage is infectious, just like fear. And if you are capable of projecting courage, strength, disobedience, not just dissent. Dissent is, I disagree with this decision, but I'm going to go along with it anyway. That's dissent. Name me a criminal psychopath who would be frightened by that. No. No, not think of anyway. I don't think so. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, because when he came to that realization and he told me that, and I'm here talking on the radio and stuff like that, I said to Dr. Bruce Levine, fuck, I've wasted the last 10 years of my life doing this show. All I've been doing is dissenting. What are we doing, Ollie? We're wasting our lives, man. We need to go out there and do something, but I don't know what. And this is the thing. Tactics and technology. Every war throughout history has been won by either one or two of these factors, tactics and technology. We've got the technology, we can live stream, we can get information out, but the problem is we don't have the reach that the mainstream media does, ladies and gentlemen. You need to be sharing shows like this. You really need to be getting it out there. But what's problematic is the algorithms are censoring them down and all of that kind of stuff, and stuff isn't appearing, and there's all sorts of weird stuff going on. So it can be confusing, okay? But if you are confused, know this. If you are doing the right thing, what you know in your heart and your mind together is the right thing to do, little synchronistic things will happen in your life that allow you to keep continuing to do such a thing. You may suffer occasionally, you may get frustrated, but you won't give up. And it's the people who don't give up that win. Like waves lashing upon a rock. They seem to break at first, and even for a long time they do, but eventually that rock gets worn down and melts away. So can we do with controllers and lies and scumbaggery, ladies and gentlemen. Again and again and again. This is what I encourage each of you to do in your own way. You might be good at cooking or something, but, you know, it's okay. Whatever floats your boat, whatever keeps your Luftwaffe aloft, you keep doing it, all right? Ole,
I've got a similar image that I often see myself for my inner eye if I start to despair or whatever. Do you know the Hoover Dam, the millions of gallons of water that has been blocked by the Hoover Dam? The water it can't see the wall, but it feels it stagnates, you know, it cannot move. It's water, but it's not like water is supposed to be. The water molecules are telling each other, well, we are water. I don't know why we're not moving. I don't know why we're starting to smell, but apparently this is the way life is. They do not see the wall. But the pressure on this wall is immense. So what I'm trying to do, and have been done for 3 decades now, is just at one point keep – this is why I've chosen false flag operation and top political assassinations. And just do – because I see that these are major – some of the few tools they have against us are these operations. So I have a hammer and a chisel, and I just boom, 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 boom on the same exact same spot over and over. over and over and over and over. And I tell you, one day there will be a crack. And when that crack is there, the power of the locked in water will just make the whole thing come down in one go. It only needs one little crack. So never underestimate the power of one individual or one action. And you won't see it, see the crack until the last hit. You never know when it is, but boom, boom, boom. Just keep doing it. This is what I've devoted my life to, and I'm going to continue or die trying or see us become free. That's the idea. And I'm super positive. If it sounds negative here, sorry, I've given the wrong impression, because I am super optimistic that we're doing this. And I think them speeding up these operations just shows that we're really making progress now. And I mean, when I started doing this was in around 1980, I felt so alone. Now there are millions and millions and millions of people, and I think thousands of people waking up every single day. And this is what they fear, because once we aim the light at them, and we start seeing, you know, when the fog starts lifting and people start seeing how weak they are, how few they are, and what they've been up to for such a long time, it's game over. It's game over for them. That is what they freak out, I think.
Mm. Well, Ollie, thank you very much for joining us. And I want to close this out by a quote from Christopher Walken. Two mice fell in a bucket of cream. Now, the first mouse, he struggled a little bit, but he gave up and he drowned. But the second mouse, he was really determined, little bastard, and he started churning and churning and churning, and eventually he churned that cream into butter, and he walked out. Ladies and gentlemen, we are that second mouse.
We are indeed. We are indeed.
Right.
Listen, Winnie, I'm not religious, but would it be okay if I finish with a prayer?
It's so funny you should mention that, because the last couple of shows or something like that, I was like thinking of asking my guests each time in a non-religious, just totally secular way. Have you got any prayers you'd like to close us out the show with? Go ahead.
It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness. So victory to that light.
Amen. All right. So, Ole, just hang on up, and I'll get into doing the evidence for the audience, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't seen this for the first time, it's some pretty horrific stuff. I can't show you the video, of course, because I will lose my channel. And I don't know. Is it mean to say it's not worth that? I don't know. But in either case, there are people in the chat room, ladies and gentlemen, who have the link to this video. And so if you put in your email, I'm sure that they'll oblige and send it to you. Everybody needs to see what evidence we actually have. And it's interesting, and we'll get into this later, that the media is discouraging people from sharing it. They're discouraging people from looking at it, and they're saying that's because that's what the terrorists want. And my question to that is, why are you doing 24 hours of coverage on the terrorist if that's what he wants?
Listen, Winnie, before I go, I just want to point out another one. Over the years, when I looked into these operations, I kept bumping into shoes. There are these trainers lying all over the place. And in the beginning, I thought, well, that's odd. Well, there's another one. That's odd. It's more or less always Nike trainers. And over the years, I have everything categorized. I've got like 2.3 terabyte of evidence that I have in a vault that people can access if they go to my website, Light on Conspiracies, and sign up. But so I had this folder with shoes, and it just kept, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I thought, this is just unreal. What is up with all of these shoes? So I started looking into it, and it's so often when there's one of these alleged gruesome incidents, you know, when you got blood and dead bodies, and then in the forefront of the image, there's a trainer, or you know, there's police standing there, and there are trainers lying in the street. or there's an alleged plane crash or whatever. There's a lot of very strange incidents lately in the last few years. And what do you see? You see the photo is of a trainer. And that has nothing to do with a mass shooting or a shooting at a nightclub on Manhattan or whatever. The image from the nightclub, it's not the nightclub, it's not the shooting, it's the shoe. But what the hell was is of the shoe? So I started looking into that more and more. And I found out that ever since the Holocaust, I believe that was the first time when the shoe was used as a symbol of death. You know, these mountains of shoes symbolizing all of these alleged victims in the death camps. And then I went to the Korean War, shoes, 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 Vietnam War, shoes, 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 Balkan War, shoes, shoes. And in so many different areas that were connected to death, there were shoes. So I was thinking for a while that I thought that maybe this is sort of like a business card, you know, that the people behind these operations as a sort of secret business card so they could show their colleagues around the world, yeah, it's our operation, it's our operation, that was the reason why these shoes were there. Then a Freemason contacted me and said, that could be true, but also you have to understand the significance of these shoes. Because just like in Freemasonic rituals, if you have one shoe off and often your trousers leg up, one of the trousers leg up, that shows that that individual is doing it voluntarily. Two shoes off means homage to the sacred space because they see these operations as a ritual or a sacrifice. And so when you look at these type of operations, like, for instance, the car attack in Melbourne, that's a perfect example. Look at all of these shoes lying around. Look at the victims that are missing shoes. I've spoken to police officers, ambulance drivers, firefighters. Is it normal when there is an incident like this that shoes are lying around? And they say most of the time, absolutely not. So it's very odd. I mean, sometimes it even rubber boots and stuff that just doesn't fall off. And so the more I've been looking into it, I've done hundreds of interviews. I've done in total between 500 and 1,000 interviews that you can watch on YouTube, even though many of them, especially when we talk about false flag, get shut down within 24 or 48 hours. But anyway, I was doing a show together with CIA whistleblower Cody Snodgrass. He was an independent black op contractor for more than 20 years. And he was also involved in MKUltra, which is where they, through mind control, they destroy people into assets that they can control to be used in different operations. And one of the way they do that is through making this poor individual go through incredible scrutinizing pain and torture. And in that way, they make the personality, when the persona cannot cope anymore, the personality splits into more than one person. So, and then through signals or symbols, they can then activate the new part of this person and use that as an assassin or a patsy or whatever. And this is what you often see in movies where maybe somebody gets a phone call and they say a secret word or a secret code or a secret song or whatever, and boom, suddenly this person turns into like a zombie type of person that can then go and do whatever he gets ordered to do. But what Cody said was when they destroyed an individual to become an asset, often it was through rape and torture and so on, and they held like a symbol in front of the face of this person while the pain was there. So every time the pain was there, they showed the symbol. They held up, it could be like an upside down dolphin or wavy lines or whatever. And then when they finally had accomplished what they wanted, it was enough just to show the symbol and boom, the person went into this traumatic state where he was being able to be controlled. So what Cody said when we did an interview together and these shoes came up, and he said, I think I got another level to that, because these shoes have appeared there in hundreds. I tell you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mass shootings and alleged terror attacks and alleged accidents. The shoes are there in the foreground. And he said, what he believes the shoe is there to do is like a global mind control trigger, because over the years we have so many times seen an alleged attack or something gruesome happening, and then the shoe is there. So you have the trauma, and then the shoe is there. And I spoke to a psychologist, and he said also even though the human mind or the human mindset is really sort of obsessed with seeing the body's destruction, like if you pass a road accident or whatever, people are so nosy, they want to see what happened. At the same time, oh my God, I saw some blood, oh, it's gruesome. So once you see the awful thing, your eye tries to protect yourself, and it tried to look for something familiar, and in this case, the shoe. So you have like a double action. You see the horror, and then you avoid it, and you get the second boom from the shoe. So what Cody was thinking was that he thinks that this shoe is there as the trigger to get us into fear mode, because we've seen it so many times. No, we don't notice it. Most people, it's on a subconscious level. You just see, oh my God, there's been another mass shooting. The shoe is there. Boom, it triggers you into that. Also, one of the first things you do in the morning is you get dressed, you put on your shoes, you see the shoes, and subconsciously you get back into anxiety and a bit of fear. And then you add it on with the newspaper. You start reading about horror, 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 which is their agenda also to keep us in this hormone. So the shoe is very important to be aware of. So I've done hundreds of interviews about shoes. I've also done a presentation called Shoes of Death, or Shoes, the Symbol of Death. And so, for instance, now when this happened in Christchurch, what is the image that is being spread internationally in media? Have a look. You will see it's a shoe, and there's some bandage with blood on it and some debris on the ground. That is, I've seen that in Dutch newspapers, Swedish newspapers, Danish newspapers, German newspapers, American newspapers. It's the same image, the shoe, the shoe, the shoe. Then you start looking at the different victims. Like there's one woman that is lying face down, covered with a blanket, no shoes on. There's another image of police officers standing with machine guns. Look in front of them. There are two trainers on the ground. They're not even close to anywhere where they're victims. It's not a cordon off area. The shoes are just there. So this is a giveaway when it comes to these operations as well. The shoe is the trigger. And after I pointed this out, many, many people around the world have become aware of it. It's almost become like a joke. So it feels now like they're making a soft transition into bicycles as this trigger. So for a while, it's been both shoes and bicycles in the background that are lying down in the street and so on. And now they're trying to ease out the shoe and just leave the bicycles there. So shoes and bicycles, keep those in mind when you open up the newspaper and you read about these things, and you will see them coming again and again and again and again. And when you see them, just the same way as if you hear about a drill or a lone crazy guy or a lone fanatic, these are red alerts that should go off like burp, burp, burp. Because why they want a lone crazy individual or a lone wolf, the reason why they want him alone is because then by law there's no conspiracy. A conspiracy is when two or more individuals are involved in criminal activity. So if he's alone, then in the courtrooms and so on, and especially if this person is suicided or killed on location, then it's case closed. Thank you, and game over. And the reason why they want him mentally ill or crazy or a fanatic is because then there's no motive, there's no need for motive. He was crazy. He was a fanatic. He was, you know, a Muslim. Boom. They weaponize these words like Islam and Muslim, so that when you just need to say Muhammad and your brain will think, oh, terrorist, you say Islam, oh, terrorist. And so that's how they do it. And it's done by design and on purpose. So please keep an eye out for these things as well.
Well, I noticed that the... you're frozen, by the way, Ollie. You might have to turn your webcam off and then on again in order to reset that. But I was looking at some of the images in the papers, and it had people with one leg of their pants rolled up and everything like that. And I was like, where have I seen that before? Ah, that shooting in London or something like that, with the Freemason helicopter come down and all the crisis actors and everything like that. Ah, you know, but I didn't know what it meant. What does the one pant leg up mean exactly? Just if you can encapsulate that in a few seconds.
It's a Freemasonic symbol. It's what they do in their rituals. One trouser leg up and one shoe up means that this person is doing it voluntarily. They're taking part of this, they're being forced, and it just shows that they're part of the whole thing. And two shoes up means homage to the sacred space.
Okay. I'm just typing that down because that's something I'm actually going to have to refer back to the audience when I go through the evidence later on in the live stream.
Check out the if you want, I can send you some of these photos when I say bye bye. I'll send some of these photos to you. But also, one thing that is interesting, I find, I spoke about this earlier before, and you will see many times in the background disappears. You have the name of the Holocaust is actually Shua. I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but I find it interesting.
Okay, thank you, Ole, so much for your time, brother. You have yourself a wonderful evening's rest, and all your hard work tomorrow, I think, is going to be voluminous. In fact, we may be doing a second live stream tomorrow on this after we get through all the evidence and stuff like that, because this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. I generally don't come out and do all of these live streams, hot on the button issues and all of that kind of stuff, frankly, because the amount of information that you need in order to understand the scenario and in its context usually doesn't exist at that particular point in time. But however, luckily, we have experts from all over the world who have been looking into incidents like these, and much like an animal tracker, they can see the trail, even though we cannot. Ole, thank you very much, and we'll see you again sometime, brother.
Thank you, and I hope to be back with Cody, because then you will get it straight from a former professional that spent a good part of his life doing these things, so you can get it straight from him.
Indeed, we'll have Cody on later on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, and thank you, Ole. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to remind you that this is a listener-supported broadcast. We're not actually being financed by the mainstream media or anything else, so if you do want to pop a super chat into the chat room there, I'd be very much obliged. You can do that by clicking this little dollar symbol in the bottom and clicking Super Chat, and then deciding how much you want to spend by dragging this little thing up there. All right, so that's how you do it, folks. Thank you very much. Now, on to the evidence. Where are we? Okay. First thing I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm going to read out my initial reaction to this whole kerfuffle. Today, New Zealand suffered a double shooting. Oh, my God, that's crazy. Hello, Vinnie Eastwood speaking in the middle of a live stream. Yeah, I'm in the middle of a live stream. Can't talk, sorry. Bye. Okay, let's get into it. So today, New Zealand suffered a double shooting in Christchurch mosques. In these times of crisis, let's focus on the evidence. Who was the shooter? What did they do? When did this happen? Where did it occur? How did it happen? And why? This case is not unprecedented, as New Zealand did have a massive shooting in a road called Every Street in Ashburton in the mid-90s. What we must do now is console the victims, if there are any, of course, but stay calm. Let the facts come out before we make condemnations one way or the other. Kia kaha, be strong. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play the One News piece just for about five minutes or so like that while I go and grab myself some more coffee and water.
Right now we have...
Let me just get that running out. Okay, I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Well, timely, of course, because we understand the schools are still in lockdown. Fetu Cormack from the Principals Federation, he joins us on the phone now. Fetu, kia ora, thank you for joining us. What can you tell us?
Speaking to education officials, we understand that all of our schools are in lockdown, and we are confident now that whānau and parents should be assured that their teachers and school principals will be taking care of their young ones until the situation is resolved.
So your advice to parents is simply to stay home and watch the television?
I believe that is a good information for our parents, that they should stay home and wait until police and also whether the schools will be in touch with them. There'll be some communication, I'm sure, through schools. So just to reassure our families is that all of the schools in Christchurch will have lockdown procedures and policies in place, and they would have practiced these in the past, and that they can feel confident that their teachers will be looking after their children for them.
What information have you directly received from authorities?
The information that I have is that our local regional school leaders have been in touch with the Ministry of Education to assure them that everybody is safe, and ministry officials have been directly in touch with me as well.
When were you last in contact with them?
Around about 15 or 20 minutes ago.
And you are getting regular updates?
I'm sure I'll be in touch with the Ministry of Education. I've spoken to the Secretary of Education, and so I'm sure those conversations will continue as this unfolds. So just to reassure our families and all parents that their teachers and principals will be taking care of their children.
The procedures are well established.
Indeed.
Have you received any information as to speculation when this might be resolved or when lockdown might be lifted?
I can't give any of that information. Obviously, that would be information that we'd need to seek from the police and those authorities.
All right. What happens now for the schools, though?
Well, schools will be waiting to hear from the police, of course, about what their next steps are, and there is active and detailed communication happening between the Ministry of Education and I'm sure the police, and then in turn to our school leaders.
You've told us that the lockdown procedures are well established. Can you talk us through what happens?
Over a number of years now, schools have brought into place these policies, and in my own school in South Dunedin, these are regularly practiced, and so the children will be fully aware of how they should react when the lockdown occurs. So obviously every school would have its own procedures in place and policies, but I'm confident that since the new health and safety regulations came in 7 years ago, that all schools will have procedures in place and that our young people will be safe.
Well, I'm sure your school's procedure is similar to others. Can you talk us through exactly how it happens? As principal, you receive information directly from the Ministry of Education, do you?
So obviously in our situation, they were just trial runs. There is a communication system that the leader of the school would have directly with their teachers in the classrooms via a text messaging situation or via the telephone. And we can trust those procedures. And obviously in this situation, it's one that we could never have imagined would happen in Aotearoa. I'm sure that the police will be communicating directly with ministry and in turn back to our school leaders.
Let's take it to the classroom level. What happens when you call a teacher in their classroom and say you're in lockdown? What exactly happens? What does the teacher do? What does the student do?
Okay, so there's another aspect of this, the lockdowns and all of this sort of control mechanism. But we're going to go on to the next part here. And the news isn't live. Okay, so this is just a replay of what they were doing yesterday. And what news normally does is it just repeats itself over and over and over and over again. So I really didn't bother watching it. And instead, I just started looking for people who actually know what the hell they're talking about. Remember when you promote lunatic conspiracy theories, there are people out there that act on them. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Just like when you promote a lack of morality, society turns tyrannical and tyrants kill innocents. That's what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when you undermine morality, where you think that doing the right thing is just not worth it. Many people contact me, and this is by Kurt Richard Haskell. I tried to get him on the show before, but his connection was just too terrible. It was really quite sad. Many people contact me and ask how I can tell if something is a false flag. One, the perpetrators, I'll just enlarge this for the audience. The perpetrators have had recent arrests and have gotten very lenient sentences for what they were charged with. Two, the government has been warned of the attack and done nothing to stop it. But by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just read out the preamble here. Please note that not all of these items will be found in relation to every false flag event. Very few, if any, of these items should be found at a real event. Thus, when you start seeing several of these items appear in one event, it is most likely a false flag. Kurt Richard Haskell. Okay, so I'll also put the link to my... The link to my interview with Kurt, I'll just pop that in the chat room here for you, ladies and gentlemen, in case you wanted to see that later. Now, there's a couple of notes there from Ollie I just need to save. And what was it? So, two shoes off is a homage to a sacred space, one trouser leg up and one shoe off. Shows that you is a symbol that you're doing it voluntarily and that they're part of the same thing. You know, see, I always thought shoes were just symbolic of defeat, you know. But anyway, we're getting back into it. Number three, the eyewitness accounts differ on key details from the official version. Number four, the perpetrators don't go on trial. They're either dead or escape. Five, a victim from the crime that should have been killed miraculously lives to give out details of the event. Key video is hidden. Still pictures, which are often grainy or unclear, are released to support the official story. The perpetrators are tied to ISIS or Syria. The perpetrators are identified in record time. They dropped identification of the perpetrators is found. DNA from the perpetrators is found in too many places and is run through lab tests in record time to make an identification. 11, the attack was on or in public transportation. 12, the amount of dead shrinks as the events play out. 13, new laws or military action take place as a result of the event. Number 14, the event receives an abnormal amount of press coverage. And ladies and gentlemen, you're in this live stream right now. This is four times the audience I have ever had listening to this live stream. You bet you believe this is an abnormal amount of press coverage on this issue, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody's looking around for it, aren't they, right now, especially you guys in the chat room, and I'm so grateful for you being here as well. Now, the country where the event took place has recently irritated Israel in some way. Now, I recall Kurt Richard Haskell telling me about this, that he thinks it might be Israeli-related. He's read the person's manifesto, which is a copy paste of the Unabomber and Anders Breivik, the Finnish shooter or whatever, wherever it was up in Scandinavia there some time ago. So basically, it's a planned operation that has the exact same agenda: frighten everybody and demonize all the ideology that they don't really like. You know, that kind of thing. The country where the event took place is really, got that one. The event and the perpetrators are set up to cause conflict between different religious, ethnic, or sexual orientation groups. 17. The term assault rifle is widely used to describe the perpetrators' weapons by eyewitnesses. 18. The friends and family of the victims do interviews that are not believable. Suicide vests are used and at least one doesn't detonate. 20, one or more bombs do not detonate. And also just remember that the shooter in this case had two jerry cans that he didn't use. A gun jams, thereby saving someone from death. An unbelievable hero story is released by the press on day two, usually accompanied by a GoFundMe account. A manifesto is released by the perpetrators. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a manifesto release. So that's two. In fact, there's been a number of them. I should probably point these out as we go through them. The perpetrator was identified in record time. Like seriously, by the first time I even had the story, it's already identified who this person is. Key video is hidden. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of you in the chat room are trying to watch that video and that kind of thing. Just be warned, if you don't have an emotional reaction to it, like you think you should, that's not necessarily because there's something wrong with you. It might be something wrong with what you're looking at, and your subconscious mind is picking it up and going, what is this? I don't know. Because that's how I felt. This is just surreal. Where are we? New laws or military action take place as a result of the event. So we're going to see that in the coming days, most likely. The abnormal press coverage, absolutely. So how many is that so far? It's like 3, 4, 5 out of these things. So you're talking about it's statistically impossible that this is not a planned operation, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to just say that right now at this point. It's not possible that this one dude, all on his own, did all of this and coordinated the whole damn thing. It's not possible. Something else is going on. What we know exactly remains to be debated. And when I say that, again, I have to reiterate again and again and again, when drills go live, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean that, you know, all of the they're all actors and nobody died or anything like that. It's more like they all volunteered for this and suddenly they realized that what they were volunteering for became real all of a sudden and they had no idea what was going on, right? Scary stuff. It would be terrifying to be one of these people in a drill that went live. It's kind of making me feel almost well up a little bit. The event and perpetrators are set up to cause conflict between different religious, ethnic, or sexual orientation groups. Bingo! 17, the term assault rifle is widely used to describe the perpetrator's weapon by eyewitnesses. Friends and family do not believe it. Blah, 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 blah. Suicide vest, one doesn't detonate, that's another one. One or more bombs do not detonate, there's another one. A gun jams, thereby saving someone from death. I don't think that happened in the video. An unbelievable hero story is released on the press by Day 2. Don't know. He did release a manifesto, so that's another one. A drill is taking place at or near the event at the same time. And I'm just going to replay this from you from News Talk ZB. Have a listen.
Just before we go to the news, I am aware that just through a quirky stroke of timing, there has been a massive armed offenders squad training exercise taking place in Christchurch this week, including today. So if there is any silver lining to a very dark day, the Garden City has had a massive amount of AOS officers in the city for this training exercise.
Okay, and then we go down to here. There was some kind of talking about how a man dressed like an armed offenders squad walked into the mosque kind of thing. We'll get to that point later. So, yes, there was a drill taken at the same place. This has got so many red flags, ladies and gentlemen. I'm confusing it for the entire state of China. The US government gives an incredible amount of money to the victims' families. Now, of course, this is a United States false flag map and that kind of thing. So these things can be changed somewhat. So it says Obama appears at a funeral for the victims. So what we might see is Jacinda Ardern appear at a funeral for the victims. Little to no amateur cell phone video footage of the event is released. And for anybody trying to find that link to the footage and that kind of thing, somebody was posting it. I think Zion's 565. Could you post that link again in the thing? Documenting reality. There we go. I'm going to actually open that one up. And hopefully those of you in the chat room can actually come and see this. But yeah, maybe it won't work, maybe it will. What's going up? Okay, so there it is. There it is. It's right there on documentingreality.com. There's a huge link there. I'm not sure if we'd be able to do that, but of course if you just go into the chat room about this time while I'm talking about it, Zion 565 has posted that link. Thank you so much for that, buddy. I literally cannot do this without all your support, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm leaning on Ole Damegaard. I'm leaning on Kurt Richard Haskell. I'm leaning on the New Zealand media. I'm leaning on the international media when we're bringing this kind of stuff to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a ordinary thing for me to do on this show. Live stuff, I've been doing a lot more of it lately, but to cover an event like this, kind of like right after it happens and stuff like that, normally I wait a month, okay? At least a month. But by then, nobody's interested in it anymore, because that's when all the details come out and you realize that all the things are screwed. And I only decided to do this show today because I had some context to it given by a great journalist in New Zealand, Ben Vigen, and we'll be reading his article next. Here come the armed police state, like we didn't see that coming. That's at postmanproductions.wordpress.com for those of you who want to go see that. But either that, I will keep going on with this Kurt Richard Haskell, a list of false flag anomalies that could possibly turn up if it was in fact a false flag. And as we've seen so far, so many red flags have come up to this that it's not possible that it's not a false flag. Impossible. Little to no amateur cell phone footage of the event is released, and we've seen the censorship of that cell phone footage like a mother effer, you know. Put it up on Facebook, gone. Put it up on YouTube, gone. You know, that kind of instantly, and in some cases, people are having it deleted immediately and then immediately reposting it, that kind of thing. It's that bad how much they don't want people to see that footage. The perpetrators have recently disappeared for at least 2 months. An online video is found of the perpetrator acting crazy. I think an online video of the perpetrator shooting people's kind of qualifies there. Yet another red flag. The details of the event make it impossible to not be reminded of other recent false flag events. That's another red flag. Friends and family members suddenly change careers to become professional anti-gun lobbyists. We'll see that in the fullness of time, perhaps. The perpetrators wore body armor, or it is found at the scene. Bingo! Again and again. 33, former military members play key roles in the event in some way. We don't know. We have any information of that degree as yet. There is little to no proof that anybody died or was injured. We've had a lot of anomalies on that video, and of course we can't really confirm all of the deaths and things like that because we weren't there to do this. But bear in mind that this is only one possibility, and not all of these things have to happen in the one event. But if multiple things happen in one event, you know it's a false flag. So bear in mind as well that, again, I've had to keep reiterating this, drills sometimes go live, and the people who are acting in those drills suddenly don't realize it, but they get executed. You know, that's cold, man. That's really, really cold. Federal agencies are on the scene in record time and numbers that would not normally be possible in a short time period without prior knowledge. Now, bear in mind that the huge amounts of the city were basically on lockdown and stuff like that immediately following this instance. So is that does that fit into that particular one? Who knows? It doesn't matter. We don't have the time frame on that. It wasn't coming out immediately. 36 federal agencies take over the scene, even though it is an event not normally under their jurisdiction. So not sure if that one happened either, although the scene, of course, was taken over, and that was Armed Offender Squad, that kind of thing, the same people who are running the drills there. 37, Ritter Katz and Site immediately find evidence that ties the perpetrators to radical Islam. And you can swap out radical Islam with radical white right-wing extremist. So, yeah, well, they immediately find evidence, you know, all of these guns with all of this stuff all over them of previous shooters and what have you. No tears are shed by family members in the immediate aftermath of the event. Still haven't tracked down any family members as far as I know. This is only day one in the first 24 hours. In fact, in 2.5 hours, ladies and gentlemen, this shooting would have happened 24 hours ago. I think it happened at 1:30 p.m. Local standard time. Footage from other events is passed off as actual video from this event. Ole Damegaard also referred to that during his talk there as well, that if you watch the clouds and what have you, you'll see them change in positions and what have you. You know, the videos can be edited. And oh my God, could you believe how realistic Thanos was looking? Imagine the kind of stuff that could be done if it was a really important thing, like maybe brainwashing the public into thinking there was a massive slaughter going place. We don't know. 40 unverifiable social media posts pop up immediately after the event to point the finger at the perpetrators. 41, witness indicate at least one perpetrator said, Allahu Akbar. Okay, so those are all from Kurt Richard Haskell, and you can check that out on my Facebook page there. Now, I'm not sure how long this is going to take, but this is a very, very long article, ladies and gentlemen, a long, long article about a lot of the stuff actually leading up to this. I was thinking about maybe leaving it till last, but I thought just after we look at the false flag signs and we watch a little bit of the news coverage and that kind of thing, it would actually be good to really nail this all down for people so that they've got something to really sink their teeth into and what have you. Now, right at this particular second, I'm being messaged by a number of people and I've got to make sure they're not trying to mess me out. No, it's all good. It's all good, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have anybody contacting me with any emergencies and that kind of thing to come on the show, so that's all good. Police state. Here come the armed police state, like we didn't see that one coming. Praise the Lord, pass the ammo. Here is the AM of why, the A to M of why the official narrative is a load of horseshit. What's that mean? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into this article, it's written not in English, but this is written by Bedvigen. So it's written in Virgin English. Okay, he's dyslexic as fuck, and I love him. Will you read my story? Will you read my story and decide for yourself? Well, you read my story and decide for yourself. And at the very least, I think you will conclude we need a royal commission into the monumental cock-up of our security forces that this tragedy underlines. So you're doing a security training exercise to protect people from masked gunmen and stuff like that. And at the same time as you're doing that drill, somebody just happens to get away with it right under your nose. Really? Really? For all the billions they receive post 9/11, the spooks still seem securely stuck in their penthouse and pork pies mentality. Time the public got to ask their own questions, and it's time the government goons were made to give straight answers. Quick memo, I'm on the road at moment, so yes, this has typo-ridden... This has typos and it was written in a hurry and will smooth out as I get time and update accordingly. So I'm going to try and do my best to translate. Number one, let me just enlarge that. Here we go, that's better. Number one, where are all these guns coming from? Who bought their bombs and funded this well-coordinated attack? An extremely pertinent question, whether you believe in the official narrative or not. Or accept that the world is a far more complicated place than the black hat, white hat version of how terrorist events usually get told by folks who have no actual qualification and thus simply accept the official account at face value. A. Less than a month ago, we have a full automatic weapons incident, which is used as a precursor for suggestion our police need to be armed, which also gives a good opportunity for third parties to observe and monitor police response times and tactics. B. A week ago, schools in Tauranga went into lockdown, resulting in armed police response. A woman was charged with weapon possession and discharging a firearm in a public place. The same day in Tauranga, the police witnessed police the public witnessed police raiding a gang compound and seized pistols, a rifle, and ammunition, and drugs. Now, it's become so normal that no one pays attention anymore. Just ask where gangs are getting all these weapons, in an island state, surrounded by water, far away from normal black market sources. Number C. It's just C. 48 hours ago, I observed, as did most of the activist community, a sudden and spiking level of odd behavior in our electronic communications, indicative of our metadata being downloaded and that the surveillance state had notably jumped up a notch in its activity. It comes as the role of private security firms such as Thomson comes under increased scrutiny, including the use of clearly illegal and sinister agent provocateur style methodology and their cozy relations with big business and friendly primary industries. The hack and increased demonization of social activism are indicative that we are moving into a new phase in centralization and power monopoly. D. 24 hours ago, having called the Facebook... 24 hours ago, Facebook was acting strange and the entire system crashed. And voila, just when it comes back online, we have a mass shooting timed to coordinate with the 6 o'clock news reports on Friday when we and the rest of the media will be winding down. Why do you think I'm doing that this morning, ladies and gentlemen? I started this show much earlier because I was real tired last night, honestly. I think I did two whole shows yesterday that were like some of the best shows I've done like in the history of doing the show. But in either case, I was just too tired. So here I am, ladies and gentlemen, doing my best. Thus ensuring that the official narrative can be controlled to fit with the agenda. Screw the agenda. Give us some truth. That's what I'm here to do, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if anybody knows of anyone else in New Zealand who's doing anything like what I'm doing right now here today, send me their name. Send me their contact details. You won't. You know why? Because there's nobody else in this country doing what I'm doing. All right? Because I don't want to be mean. I don't want to sound arrogant or anything like that, ladies and gentlemen, but I work damn hard to make sure that this show happens. I really do. So if you do want to support me, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and you can start up automatic payments through the Kiwi Bank, PayPal or Patreon, whichever country you happen to be in. It'll tend to be that same thing. It's been a hell of a week. I've done so many live streams and I've had a lot of support from the audience and I really love you guys. Thank you so much for your support. Thus ensuring the official narrative can be controlled to fit with the agenda. Watch the usual ignorant twats spout their right-wing shit in the weekend papers about a topic they have zero expertise and qualification in as they offer up their turd opinions as facts. No guesses for what their slant will be. E. A politician, James Shaw, incidentally a consultant to Bayer Monsanto Pharmaceuticals, and also a consultant to PricewaterhouseCoopers, who lost us $2 billion, $2 billion with a B, dollars on carbon trading scams, and then this guy becomes the head of the Green Party. How's that happen, eh? He's attacked by a random stranger, resulting in politicians causing for armed diplomatic protection. It follows the 2019 $5 million security upgrade for the parliamentary mansion. The Prime Minister mansion. These surges in political acts of violence come after 1080 activists have known for a month that a gated community in Nelson has become home to four High Court judges, who have had armed protection made up of four soldiers detailed from Burnham Military Base, a fact which led me to forecast an anticipated armed incident would take place in 2019 and be used as a precursor for heightened state powers. This is exactly what Ola Damagard was talking about. The second I heard of this incident, Ola was not the first person I thought about. He was the first person I contacted to bring on the show, but Ben's like, he's out on the road, he doesn't have a proper smartphone and everything like that. We have to organize interviews well in advance and that kind of thing. But Ben's name came to me first. You know, I was just like, I hope Ben Vigen's done something on this so I can read it out on air for him, you know, and boom, boom, there he is, reliable as ever. It's the thing, he doesn't fucking stop what he's doing just because it's fucking convenient to do so, you know. He keeps pumping out the work as he can. It's good. And but use the precursor for heightened state powers. This follows on from several posts I made this year where I reported on the creeping appearance of security guards at courts, Work and Income New Zealand, banks and councils. Guards are not there for staff and public protection, but so as to pervert the public calling the state to account. And let me stress, this is not just another conspiracy theory after the fact, but a series of forecast articles which have correctly and repeatedly anticipated the next step hypothesis tested and proven correct. Much like the Ashburton shooting on every street, like there was a shooting on every street in New Zealand, that was the headline, right? Much like the Ashburton shooting, a genuine criminal tragedy, I believe, was exploited. And of course, I've never actually really studied into that tragedy since figuring out what I'm doing, but absolutely exploited to the nth degree after the fact. I think one of my listeners, Barry, he told me about this, that they changed the storage of your gun laws. It's insane. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in your car and you're going hunting, you can't like stop at a gas station to like get gas or get a bag of chips or something like that and leave your gun in the car or take it with you out of the car to go do what you're doing and stuff like that. Otherwise, you're using a firearm for a use that is not intended or something like that. You know, it's just crazy gun laws in this thing. It's just restricting New Zealand gun owners to no end. And of course, what happens a lot after these incidents is everybody just blames the guns. Yeah. Just it was the gun that did it all. You know, it wasn't the guy wielding it. No, he was just a victim of his own freaking psychosis, if there was any psychosis. Anyway, I'm getting out of tune here. God damn, I love coffee. It's so good, and I like water too. And the highly dubious Christchurch shootout, details remain oddly tight on the events, will be used to pass new laws that won't actually prevent events like this from taking place. Case in point, the unshaven slob I saw standing outside Work and Income New Zealand yesterday, who was with eagle-eyed alertness leaning against the wall texting his mates. He had about as much chance of preventing a shooting as a wet paper bag does. That, chaps, brings as much safety to our community as the police I saw strenuously looking the other way when a dozen mongrel mob bikes drove down the middle of the road, followed by two carloads of gangsters yelling Sieg Heil. The event is now being used to introduce armed police around the country after the pretext of protecting mosque and under the pretext of protecting mosque and temples around the country. At the moment, the response is wise, but if they remain, it can be certain armed cops won't have any better idea of where the next attack by gangs, terrorists, or rage-fueled husbands will take place, and it will not make society any safer. It will, however, result in increased armed behaviour by criminal elements, as it's guaranteed to trigger an arms race, as overseas pattern and armed crime statistics have demonstrated for decades. Overseas patterns, that is. It will be interesting to see just how quickly our frontline police have weapons at the hip, and if it's instantaneous, someone has explaining to do. It's getting very sleepy dogs. Sleeping dogs. I'm not 100% sure what that reference is. It might be a movie or something. I don't know. For it will mean they were bought before the event, not after, much like the police's 2007 mass riot equipment purchase and the army crowd control shotguns in 2011, which they purchased, and coming in the wake of Operation Koru, launched on November the 5th, the anniversary of the sacking of Parihaka by state troops. For those of you in the international audience, Parihaka was an independent Māori community. Business of people and everything like that. They had trade ships, the whole nine yards. They were really making a go of it in the British economy. So naturally, the British sent in the troops and fucked them all up and sold all their shit. And Māori have been under the boot heel ever since, much like the rest of us. You know? And a wave of military exercises, including the Katapo, which have seen us partner up with the US in counterinsurgency exercises, which again demonise social activism against seabed mining and corporate hegemony, and repeat of the script used in Operation Golden Fleece, which looks like it was ripped off Sleeping Dogs and saw me temporarily leave the service after witnessing my colleagues beat up a civilian volunteer during a training exercise. I used to be in artillery intelligence, old Ben Vigen. I find it difficult, having experienced how the state can go bad firsthand and knowing my history, that so many commentators think the state, or at the very least, those who deem themselves the deep state, not capable of dirty tricks. Parihaka, Rainbow Warrior, Aziz Chowdhury, Thompson and Clark, it's not like we're without examples of the state security forces' bad conduct and history of maliciousness. The shooting also comes as I am in the Coromandel and learn that activists and iwi have made it clear to government that if they try and bring trucks into this area rich in gold, minerals and resources, and the centre of an aggressive land grab, they will have no choice but to blow the road up. Dissent and disobedience are two completely different things, ladies and gentlemen. These people are being disobedient. They're not just dissenting, and that's good to see. because the people in charge don't care if we dissent, but they do care if we disobey. Frankly, I sympathise. Violence against individuals I simply won't and do not condone. It never does anything but introduce more thugs. And it's absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. Don't reply to violence with violence. Reply to it with defensive use of force, okay? At best, that is what you have a right to do. You have a right to defend yourself. But the time of being nice is over if the state is going to act like thugs and play games, which are getting boring and all too predictable. And that's what's funny as well, is bringing on and talking to experts and things like that. They already know the story before it's even been told. Like, how does that happen unless it's a planned agenda that's been executed so many times that it's virtually identical? Back to the idea the cops just happen to have a pistol for each copper lying about. This might explain how gangs are getting so many weapons so easily. They control the New Zealand ports and generally plunder to order, right? While the customs at Bluff and Auckland busily x-rays empty containers and is forbidden from searching highly suspect ships by MFAT. Statement by the Public Servants of Association, 1998, port-wide open. Christchurch Press, state secrets for exact dates and references. And I have the book around here somewhere, but I won't be able to find that while we're doing this. Gun City. A quick perusal of military-style arms seized from the gangs in the last 3 years show the AR-15, the weapons used by our police, is the most common. And aside from Gun City, also subject to several alleged burglaries and source of so-called Operation 8 Guerrillas in 2005, non-stop sale of the civilian version of the police are the sole source. Glocks, the police's standard pistol, and the police's former standard issue arm, Browning, are also common on the black market. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that the police aren't involved with the black market and controlling organised crime, okay, they wouldn't call themselves the biggest gang in New Zealand if that wasn't the case, all right? Think about it. And when you say, oh, Vinny, you don't know, you haven't been a cop or anything like that. And I say, that's absolutely true. But I did interview a former police constable for 2 hours on this show, and it was so frickin' risque that it's an unlisted video that only my donors can listen to. And he told me some very fucking freaky shit about what they do to our boys in blue. Not entirely dissimilar from when you go into the military, you come in one way and you come out another. It's a meat grinder. The people that control society are the ones turning the handle. They're turning men into monsters so that they can control them. They're turning thinkers into order followers. Who do you think is more morally responsible? And when I say this, I'm not saying who's morally responsible. This is something Mark Passio said. Who's more morally responsible? They're both morally responsible, but who's more morally responsible? The guy following orders that executes an innocent person, or the guy who gave that illegal order? It's the order followers, ladies and gentlemen. Stop following orders is the key here. If you follow orders without exercising your mind, exercising your heart, exercising your conscience, you don't have any of them. You have nothing. And that's why they can brainwash men and boys into being killers with no remorse, because they're not themselves anymore. And they've developed a pretty efficient methodology at doing this to people. That's why military training works. One more example of why armed cops is a dumb idea, especially when weapons, ammunition, radio kits, scanners and vests from our army and police turn up in gang hands. A point rammed home by a surprising absence of ballistic evidence on ammunition and weapons seized, which could identify source of manufacture, who issued import-export user N certificates, and stock batch numbers, which all help identify who sold and who bought the weapons before they ended up on the black market. Real basic ballistic forensics, which the police don't seem keen to do. See, look at all this stuff seized. All this police-issued tech and vests and things like that. You know, how did the gangs get their hands on this stuff? Oh, I wonder. It comes just as the Bangladesh cricket teams are visiting Christchurch and were at one of the mosques attacked. See, this... Oh, whoa. Didn't know that. An event which will guarantee that the event receives high levels of press coverage will consecutively impact on the government response. The shooting took place just as the cricket team was about to enter the mosque. Operational anomalies indicative of actors with a professional skill set. David Fisher, perhaps New Zealand's only corporate employed journalist who does actual investigative work, and he does it well, reports, quote, "While some semi-automatic rifles can be bought with a basic gun license, repetitive semi-automatic weapons with extended magazines capability of the sort witness describes need a special category of gun license. It is meant to involve extensive police checks and background inquiries of the prospective owner." Fisher notes, "It would be one thing if there was one lone shooter, yet there now appears to have been being two, if not more." Apparently three people were in custody within hours of the incident. "Would simply compound the..." Oh, that's two males, one female. "Would simply compound the key question. How did they procure weapons but avoid the security net designed to prevent such weapons ending up in the wrong hands?" The statement is verified by witnesses, quote, "There were a lot of bullets. I heard at least 30 or 40 shots. It was, in my opinion, a heavy semi-automatic or automatic machine gun." What will not be addressed, unless there is a Royal Commission, a public inquiry with public submissions, is where the offenders obtained their military arms. New Zealand is not Europe, but a remote nation surrounded by water, which makes the importation of black market weapons not an easy task. That weapons, however, are turning up with increasing regularity demonstrates we have border control issues. Until that primary issue is sorted out, any attempt to prevent armed shooting by criminals or terrorists who have to shop somewhere, increased state powers and arming security forces is not adding protection. Excuse me. It's simply making the rest of us prisoners in our own homes. And that's the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Prisoners in our own homes. It's simply making the rest of us prisoners in our own homes. How can you say it again? Prisoners in our own homes. We carry our prisons with us wherever we go nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure. Anomalies indicative of professional skill set. As headlines blared, "Hero armed police," the Prime Minister briefed the public and confirmed that a man was seen entering the mosque, quote, "dressed like an armed offenders squad member." It's the Prime Minister themselves actually saying that. Holy shit. Guess where she got her scholarship from to go to university, our Prime Minister? There's a Freemason scholarship. If you want to watch, what was it, Jacinda Ardern and Labour exposed in 7 minutes, just maybe Google Jacinda Ardern, Vinnie Eastwood, 7 minutes, and you'll come up with the video of the background of where she came from and all her overseas internationalist training, the whole biz. And again, I worked on that with Ben Vigen here. Man, give me a second, folks. Just want to say, Ben, thank you, bro. Thank you for doing what you do and for being as fucking good as you are. Oh my God, so awesome. Did I just say it's awesome? Oh my God, it's so horrible, but it's good work nonetheless. All cost money and it is hard to get here in an isolated island state, New Zealand, and a second shooter has been seen entering another mosque in Lynwood, a separate suburb in Christchurch. Police confirmed a simultaneous attack was launched across multiple locations. Three men and one woman, sorry ladies and gentlemen for missing that out, three men and one woman have been detained. One of the gunmen is believed to be an Australian who has written a quote manifesto declaring his intentions. A third shooter, man, I'm going to get some water on this one. A third shooter was reported at the Christchurch Hospital as first responders rushed victims to surgery and is in line with techniques used by the IRA and studied closely by British intelligence, including the notorious military reaction force who used acts of terror based on Sir Frank Kitson counter gangs, which were used to defeat the Mau Mau in Kenya. The MRF ultimately, instead of demonising terror, used to justify increased state power, radicalised hundreds of previously non-politically active citizens and led to a prolonged struggle costing lives and hurting Ireland's economy and political stability for decades. This is a book by Frank Kitson, Low Intensity Operations, Subversion, Insurgency and Peacekeeping. It's a scary sounding book, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? I have to make this point again. The people in control of this world do not think like you. They don't. Has Ben messaged me? Oh my God, he is. I'm live now, bro. Let me see. I gotta find the damn link for this thing. File. Did somebody send me a super chat? You beauty. Thank you so much, bro. I really appreciate that. So right now what I'm doing is I'm just going to the YouTube and stuff like that. In fact, could somebody post me the link? Wait a second. It's on my fucking Facebook, isn't it? God damn, you're an idiot, Vinny. Here we go. Sweet. Where's the link? There it is. Copy link location. Reading out your article. Okay, so hopefully he can give me 20 minutes. Awesome. Oh, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see this, can you? So let's see if we can get Ben Vigen on, but I'll bring him on after I've finished his article, eh? It's still got quite a bit to go. That's Minerva. See how long it is, ladies and gentlemen. So I'll tell you what. What if we bring Ben Vigen on now? And then we finish the article after he goes, eh? That might be an ideal one via Skype. Skype. So let's check for Vigen. He keeps creating a new account every time he gets something. So yeah. Skype and can bring on the live cast. Producing while you're live is a pain in the ass, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry. It's annoying to watch, isn't it? So hopefully Ben will sign into his Skype and come with us there. Don't have tech for it here. And $2 every 10 minutes. I go broke. I can call in Kay. Let's do that. No, I think we'll just go ahead with the article and we'll get him to come on tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow, live right now. Okay, so sorry about this, folks. All right, there we go. Damn, it's hot in here. Okay, let's continue on with the article then. Kitson's manufactured bad guy tactics were also deployed by the Rhodesian and South Africa security forces in the 1980s, who worked closely with New Zealand's own security forces and in cases later moved to New Zealand and set up shop here. This included Minerva Security, a subsidiary of SM Andrews Limited, an arms firm with a board of directors made up of national MPs and high-ranking military officers, run by Christ College's old boy Stephen Andrews and former Rhodesian Special Air Services officers, that's the Special Forces. Minerva was the predecessor to firms like Ronin, Risk Security, which have mushroomed in Christchurch since 9/11, and the practice of police and intelligence service to outsource to private contractors who are proving to be a rogue elements not concerned with due process or acting within the law. A force which reminds us the Rainbow Warrior and that state terrorism is not something which always happens somewhere else. A number of IEDs attached to vehicles that were stopped had been made safe by the New Zealand Defence Force, more evidence that the group planning was sophisticated and had considerable financial resources. By 6:37, events escalated further with reports the events had a Dunedin link and was the original target. This is also where anonymous shooting threat was made the year before, resulting in considerable in consideration of a campus lockdown. Excuse me. Shortly before the break, and theft of weapons from a local gun club later that same year. Dunedin's street has been cordoned off and AOS are present after the Christchurch mosque shooter indicated on social media earlier today that he originally planned to target Dunedin's Al Huda Mosque. The Dunedin 150th student parade was cancelled as a caution. By 9 p.m, explosions were heard in Auckland Britomart. There is no follow-up, and the public is left to be anxious and afraid. But the failure to point fingers at a terrorist incident unfolding means it looks like it is forgotten backpacks left on train and blown up by nervous cops. It also reminds me of the explosives found on a plane during a 1999 APEC conference, where the explosives which turned out to be dummy training aids, which coincidentally mirrored those found in Christchurch and at an anti-APEC conference held by those whom the NZSIS had been found spying on illegally, including illegal entry to their premises. I am more interested in the spate of fires, and will follow up, which have broken out in Auckland and the exact identities of the victims and the precise occupations. Oh, thank you so much for sticking with us, ladies and gentlemen. That's probably the longest broadcast I'm ever going to do in my life. Ben's still messaging me. Let's see if we can get back to him here. What's he saying? Okay, I'll work something out somehow. Okay, awesome. Well, we're going to have Ben Vigen on the show tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit, that's fucking awesome. I've had him on the show so many times, and it still blows my mind every goddamn time. Let me see. Whew! Man, I'm tired. Will we find some of the victims working in IT related to artificial intelligence, security, and smart cities, in which case they can join the ranks of increasingly large and growing as my ongoing cases pile up? If this turns out to be the case, the occupation will show the killing were not as random as first thought and be proof of an intelligence operation versus the work of insurgents. For this is common camouflage for professional hits involving and removing evidence in case of large-scale financial scandal, as we saw in the Mumbai killing blamed on Islamic militants, even though witnesses reported the shooter speaking in Punjabi. Victims were campaigning against corruption, and the shooters included a blonde gunman and an Asian with a mohawk. Or Beslan, were the guerrilla, stood to attention army-style, spoke with Russian accents, and turned out to be on the record as already dead. Special forces, ladies and gentlemen. Special operations. The reason why they call them special is because you're not allowed to tell people what you did. Okay? You can't tell people what you did. That's I've known a lot of SAS guys, and they are messed up people. They got alcohol problems, they got a problem controlling their anger and their rage and everything like that. And I look at it and I'd feel sad for them, but it's more the fact I just want to understand, you know, what these guys have gone through. I remember one time I talked to not special forces specifically, but just New Zealand military guys, Māori. I was around at their place drinking one night, and we got into this really deep discussion. There were tears, all this stuff. They were telling how their friends died in their arms, how the older guy who'd been in World War II and he'd killed 14 or 40 people or something like that, a massive amount of people he killed. And he said it was like spending 40 years in jail. You know, imagine carrying that around with you every fucking where you go and knowing that it was somebody else who brainwashed you into a killing machine that made you do that shit. So when I talk about these kind of people as you know, perpetrators of crimes and things like that, often people who commit crimes are victims themselves. Often. Not all the time. Or East Timor, where death squads using software made in Israel targeted teachers, professional, potential leaders, and then surrounded their killing with whoever was walking past to hide the fact the murders were hit jobs and not just random massacres. Cybersecurity fails. Fail safes fail. One of the gunmen broadcast live as he shot victims. This is despite social media having the means to stop such broadcasts if content was deemed offensive, which is spotted and detected immediately by social media software. No guesses what happens next. Spark, managing director, that's the largest telecommunications company in the country, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Simon Malta, said the company was working, quote, to close off websites attempting to distribute the footage. As noted, this took place after recognized signs of system-wide hack, not just on Facebook, but in phone providers who have been notable network failure over the last 2 weeks. We knew from Edward Snowden and his exposés that such glitches are indicative of hacks to an entire system where the break in will take place by causing a system failure which triggers a reboot. Kind of like in Wreck-It Ralph, they had to... in fact, that's a spoiler. Spark is also in competition with Huawei. And we don't know Huawei, it's Huawei. The Chinese intelligence-affiliated network... military intelligence affiliated network, by the way, that's been building the back doors to all of our networks since they got here. And the entire New Zealand intelligence apparatus said to the government at the time under National and John Key, bro, you letting Huawei install our networks? They're working for Chinese military intelligence, bro. What are you doing? And when I say every single advisor in New Zealand, I mean every single advisor. And the government just goes, nah, she'll be right, bro. It's just crazy. To roll out the 5G system, which is equally about the US-Chinese aggressive competition to secure control over New Zealand's natural resources, a factor which must be taken into account when reviewing the geopolitical landscape and timing of the shootings and determining the various scenarios and actors which may or may not be present in such an event. Finances. Media has turned to sanctioned experts, including Paul Buchanan, a former US Department of Defense Pentagon analyst. Buchanan, however, is... I've got a lot of... gas in my throat. Paul Buchanan, a former US Department of Defense Pentagon analyst. Buchanan, however, is an effective and sensible intelligence analyst and notes, quote, obvious social media activity of so-called right-wing extremists dated back until at least February. He astutely also notes intelligence agents would be working to find the person's associates and to work out if they were part of a wider cell. Other questions would be where the weapons came from and how the shooters learned to operate and possibly modify them. With that comes the next important question of any terrorist event who financed the triggermen. All right, for that... is the answer to the real motive. Who financed the triggermen? Now, people go, oh, but why could they be financed? Maybe it's just a lone guy who managed to know everything and what to do and could do so without really too much incident and stuff like that. No, that takes planning, that takes coordination, that takes money, ladies and gentlemen, money and staff. Staff without a conscience. Who can plan something like this with the will to carry it out. That's what it takes. Deadline has reported the links between ARMS and Christian fundamentalist David Tipler, who spent a year in the US jails, a notorious hub of Christian white supremacist activists, in the 1990s for armed offences. Now, this is Brian Tamaki, He's a religious leader in New Zealand, here pictured with a whole bunch of gang members. In addition to several recent reports on the role of Christian Right in New Zealand gang and drug scene, which provides a natural hub to Australia gangs, prisons and Christian Right, and by the way, it was people affiliated with Auckland Police and Australian gangs who, during the, I think it was either the late 80s or the mid 90s, who brought pure methamphetamine into New Zealand. So the police are responsible for the pee epidemic, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's called pee, because it stands for police. You know? With extremist churches and high-level white-collar activists operating behind the scenes, hoping to use gangs to achieve their own lunatic agendas, both in sense of their warped spiritual vision and their predictable greed. Pulitzer Prize-winning Seymour Hersh talks of this very factor at the US Press Club, causing polarization within the US Army between West Point generals who lawfully follow due process and the Rocks and the Crusaders, carpetbaggers motivated by greed and conservative Bible Belt politics, which in the 1980s first reared its head in the form of the Santos Rebellion in Vanuatu, backed by ex-American Vietnam veterans who wanted to set up a tax haven on the island, and can be linked to the 2009 SP trading affair, which saw shipments of arms tied to New Zealand nominee addresses. This was also tied to the Lower Hutt Principality, which is at the root of investigation into major banks in Australia committed by God-fearing, respectable folk. A heritage which in New Zealand popped up in Christchurch in the 1970s, when armed offenders extracted a sizable arsenal, including Thompson machine guns, from the Christian community located outside Cheviot, Canterbury in the 1980s. It's also believed gangs with former skinhead roots have been receiving arms from heists affiliated to gun clubs in Nelson and Dunedin and elsewhere, in which gangs were informed by members from within such clubs or by obtaining club records where weapons and arms were stored. Many of those members hold right-wing views. All events, which Deadline has again been reporting on for the past couple of years, as we noted, the escalation of armed gang activity with ever-increasing sophisticated weapons increasing their arsenals in terms of weapons and ammunition seized by police, consisting with the forecast of what could be anticipated in the future as made in my 1999 book, State Secrets. More of a crazy vision conspiracy theories, which, with the benefit of hindsight, turn out to not be theory. Those familiar with Christchurch right-wing scene, including the notorious Carl Chapman, who at one point received a grant from both the Christchurch City Council and the Prime Minister's office related to crime prevention, know these guys could not organise a shag in a brothel full of nymphomaniacs. A point undermined in Mark Ellis's TV series, quote, How the Other Half Lives, what did I say, quote there, where Mark Ellis heads into the Canterbury wilderness with a group of, quote, hardcore survivalists. That was an appropriate quote. Vinnie Chapman, who couldn't shoot a barn at close range to save themselves, and demonstrated on national TV that these plonkers were as dangerous as a Nerf gun. More serious elements of Christchurch right wing do exist, who have a gang pad in or near the Riccarton Mall, where a Nazi flag can clearly be seen. However, this clique of largely interrelated individuals show little interest in genuine political activity and have close association with gang activity, and were associated by then Labour activist and now a Christchurch councillor, Jani Johansson. In my 1999 book, State Secrets, as the go-to guys for high-level politicians now employed in senior roles in offshore organisations and lobbying for globalist free trade neoliberal causes, when he wanted to stir up a bit of anti-gang activity or needed a distraction. Bullshit, you cry. Yeah. And then the mongrel mob in Wellington were never called from Rob's mob in testimony to their ties to the PM, once known as the bookie from Tipuki. Okay, that's Rob Muldoon, former Prime Minister. Okay, the elite are tied in with organised crime massively, because how can you enforce things without official channels being seen to do the dirty work? Gangs, mate! Isn't that beautiful? who was given a joint mongrel mob black power guard of honour at his funeral, as appeared on the front page of the Dominion Times, and set up the PA schemes which saw the Tamaki brother, as in Bishop Brian Tamaki, who we mentioned earlier, the Christian leader here, importing Harleys and limos from the US into New Zealand as the black power built luxury fortified gang pads. And so there you go. There's the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Rob Muldoon, who sold us out to globalism, shaking hands with a gang member with a Nazi regalia on his back, including SS officer helmet. More spy powers. And I think this is the last point on the article here. It's going to still go for quite a bit. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if this is boring you. It's just I like Ben's work and I really want to get through it. Before we get into the other stuff, because what else have we got here? We've got the News Hub, more News Hub. We're going to listen to the Prime Minister, what she says about this, Daily Mail, the international stuff. We do have this video here, ladies and gentlemen. I can't play it for you because they'll frickin' take my channel down. They'll take the stream down or something like that. But there are documentingreality.com. There should be... This is the video right here, if you want to go and see it for yourself. And I must warn you, of course, that this is not me encouraging you to go see the video. We've already described it, we've already analysed it, and all of that kind of stuff. What we need to do now is just be calm and have a look at the context behind this kind of stuff. What does all this stuff actually mean? And that's why we're continuing on with Ben's article before we get to the mainstream media stuff. Because that way, when you go in and you watch mainstream media stuff and you already have a good background knowledge on what they actually talk about, how they operate, and more to the point, you know more about the topic than the person writing the article actually does. You can see the anomalies, you can see the things and all of that kind of stuff much, much easier than a member of the ordinary public who has no idea about this kind of shit. More spy powers. David Fisher, perhaps New Zealand's only corporate employed journalist who does actual investigative work, who does it well. Wait a second. We've already done this, haven't we? Need a special category of gun license. Lone shooter. Maybe this has been... This has been copy-pasted, perhaps. A lot of bullets, 30 or 40 shots. Again, these questions need to be answered on the basis of a tsunami of electronic and security force legislation aimed to escalate mass surveillance, supposedly for our benefit. Now, which, however, has failed, as it failed during the Rainbow Warrior bombing when French intelligence blew up a boat belonging to peace activists in 1987. Three consecutive coups in Fijis, the Solomons, and Bougainville. All carried out by ethnic hate groups or separatists supported by Pentecostal-based Christian churches and right-wing businesses, community leaders keen to gain trade concession and control of the state's national resource by regime change. So, read this little thing out here. 1987 coup by Rabuka brought in a new constitution. Indians are not allowed to become prime minister, and I want the seat for Indians in parliament halved. 2000, coup by George Speight, an Australian national, removed the first elected Indian prime minister from office through violent acts. This is supported by the Methodist Church. Chowdhury, as you know, is prominently predominantly indigenous Fijian. For Chowdhury, I think, ladies and gentlemen, he was held here illegally, I think, for quite some time in some kind of detention centre when he tried to come to New Zealand as an asylum seeker, and we treated him very, very poorly. So not only is this a racial group, but a religious one as well. I guess the blood of our Indian ancestors working the land to make Fiji where it is wasn't enough. Mahendra Chowdhury elected Indian Prime Minister of Fiji. This is really good for us. We should pardon them after this is over. We can finally make Fiji a Christian state. That's at the Fiji Methodist Church. Religion, ladies and gentlemen, if you can use it effectively, you can really help people to solve their problems in their life and take personal responsibility for them, for their actions. If you use it incorrectly, on the other hand, you can turn people into goddamn brainwashed morons and you can get them to do anything, anything, anything that doesn't have a conscience. In such cases, it results in the implementation of a draconian system that weaponized the state, reinforced a corrupt status quo, and brought thugs in sunglasses onto the streets and handed the nation's resources over to well-resourced corporate pirates adept at Machiavellian manipulation. Now, if we're not careful, that's what will happen here, whether you believe in conspiracy or not. By the way, conspiracy is two or more people coming together to cause harm to another group of people without that group of people knowing about it. If you have brothers or sisters, this has happened to you. You should believe it immediately. Fisher is correct. We need a royal commission. Quote, in public, with open evidence, where everyone gets to participate, where the government needs to be asked hard and even unorthodox questions and receive answers. The country deserves evidence and answers. And let's not hear usual bullshit cop-out of cannot say because of classified information, or give a knee-jerk reaction that sees armed cops and obnoxious American-style homeland security, which smacks of fascism, that may in fact be exactly what the shooter's financier sought from the get-go. Praise the Lord and pass the ammo. This is State Secrets by Ben Vigin. How the CIA murdered a prominent New Zealander who was supplying weapons to militant groups here. A chilling expose of espionage, gun running, drug smuggling and deadly intrigue. Ben Vigin is the author of State Secrets, the 1999 bestseller, and State Secrets 2, an expose into many money laundering and arms trafficking, which forecast the food for oil scandal, New Zealand's rising gang. Ben, thank you so much for writing that, bro. Fucking awesome. What did that take me? Nearly an hour or 2 hours to get through? I don't know, folks. But thank you for sticking in there with that, if there are any of you left, of course. I'll go on to the next article now. Christchurch mass shootings, police strongly urge social media users not to share disturbing video. Documentingreality.com, I think there's is there still somebody in the chat room passing out that link? I don't know exactly how to do it. It's a very long link. But in either case, ladies and gentlemen, I can't encourage you to watch it, and I can't show it to you. Because I'm a coward. I'm just going to fucking say that right out now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a goddamn coward. I am afraid to show you that video because of what repercussions there might be towards me. I've seen it. I've described it absolutely accurately in the first part of this thing. And the reason why I wanted to watch that video is because I don't like it when people just talk about stuff, you know, or just describe stuff. And I know that might sound ironic because I'm telling you that you don't need to necessarily see the video because I've described it accurately. I use words. I can recall the beats and how things happen like that. And when I'm telling you a story about something, usually it's reasonably accurate recount if I've seen it myself. But if I had not seen it myself and I was only going by what other people had told about it and that kind of thing, I could not describe it to you accurately, ladies and gentlemen. But the lack of emotional response I had to the video shocked me. Like, I mean, that sounds ironic too, isn't it? I watched innocent people being murdered, and I felt nothing. It was strange. It was like, what is wrong here? My brain didn't accept what I was seeing. Perhaps in a state of disbelief or denial. I don't know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. But I felt nothing. It's terrifying to know that you can just see ordinary human beings being exterminated and feel nothing. How desensitized have I become? That was what scared me even more than the people being killed, is my reaction to it. Did any of you have that reaction, ladies and gentlemen, when watching that video? Did it scare you? What, that your reaction was so, It's fucked up. Police have issued a warning to social media users not to share footage currently circulating the internet to believe to be in an attack in a mosque in Christchurch. In the video, which News Hub has chosen not to publish, the apparent shooter can be seen holding a large firearm and walking down the street. The gunman then enters the building and opens fire. In a post to social media, New Zealand police strongly urge people not to engage with any videos depicting the attack. Police are aware there is extremely distressing footage related to the incident in Christchurch circulating online. We would strongly urge that the link not be shared. We are working to have any footage removed. And see, that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. If I show you that footage, it's going to get removed along with my channel, theoretically, because the police, YouTube, Facebook, they've got this puppy locked down tight, man. And it's on third-party sites, leaks, and all of this kind of stuff. And in fact, the video version that I have here, I actually had to download that from a private link that I think that somebody sent me, and I've downloaded it onto my machine so that it's safe, it's there, and that kind of thing, so that if worse comes to worse, if they manage to somehow track down and delete every single goddamn copy online, I've still got something here that we can go over frame by frame. I want to get some Black Ops experts and a whole bunch of other people on the show to run through that video with me so that we can give you an accurate analysis of what's actually going on here, folks. Some internet users have echoed the police warning and encouraging friends not to engage with the footage. Don't share the footage. It's horrendous and it's what he wants, one man said. Okay, here's the thing. Seeing accurate footage of an actual incident gives you first-hand information. Okay, this isn't second-hand from the media. This is a first-hand account. Okay, and that's generally, when you're looking for evidence, that's what you want. So here we have the mainstream media and the general public just going, oh, it's disturbing, don't get first-hand accounts and accurate information, it might hurt your feelings or something. Like, the people are already dead. And you want to stop people from knowing how that happened by literally deleting their videos and stuff like that whenever they upload them for the people who do want to see what actually happened. Will there be people out there who want to watch it for some kind of sick, perverted pleasure because they hate Muslims? Theoretically. But there's other people who also unemotionally and dispassionately want to see that video just to see what actually happened. You know, what's wrong with that? I want to know what actually happened so that we can prevent it from happening again. Oh, that's right. Don't do drills on the same day. It's just scary stuff, man. Don't share the footage. It's horrendous and that's what he wants, one man said. I love it. It's just one man said. How do we know that the terrorist wants everybody to look at that footage? Or even that's assuming a motive. Okay. On one Twitter user shared, quote, as if to show how hard the task of moderation is, I'm watching videos of the incident be uploaded and taken down and then uploaded again in real time. Truly disturbing. Truly disturbing? People want information from the horse's mouth and are willing to undergo a little bit of stress and trauma when they watch this video in order to obtain that information? That's truly disturbing to you? That they are so dedicated in trying to do that they will upload stuff just to have it down, just to have it deleted and then upload it again regardless? I think there's something wrong going on here. It's just so suspicious, isn't it? A man was reportedly seen entering the mosque, quote, dressed like an armed offenders squad member. And I will play this again, just for those of you, this 35-second clip.
Just before we go to the news, I am aware that just through a quirky stroke of timing, there has been a massive armed offenders squad training exercise taking place in Christchurch this week, including today.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's all a coincidence. Christchurch shooting, what we know. No, what we want you to know. The stuff that we're approved to allow to let you to know. And I'm sitting here just going, I can't even show you guys the goddamn video. You know? Pisses me off, man. Multiple people have been injured with reports of some killed. A witness told News Hub they heard, quote, 28 shots. All Christchurch schools have been placed into urgent lockdown. All schools. Now, is this training the youth for their next, sting in life? You know, you're going to be in lockdown, kids. You're going to be on lockdown. We're just preparing you for it. It'll happen regularly in future. Firearms expert News Hub spoke to identified the gun as an AR-15. It's not regularly a restricted firearm, however, is when combined with the magazine seen in the video. Dozens of people are believed to have been injured, and at least six people have been reportedly killed. That's risen to like 89 in some other articles. 49, sorry. An emergency triage centre has been set up at Christchurch Hospital, and the hospital itself has been placed into lockdown with armed guards at the scene so that nobody can come in and interview any of these people, you know, and find out, hey, what actually happened there? Oh, it was part of a drill, and so a guy came in with a gun and stuff like that, and we knew that it was going to happen, so we were like, hi, bro, how's it going, and everything like that, and he had a light on the front of the gun, and we thought that was supposed to be the muzzle flash and all of that kind of stuff, but then he just started shooting, and people started going down, and I was so frightened, and you know, like that kind of thing. I'm just making that up off the top of my head, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take that as like a first-hand confession, because it was locked down. And nobody can interview anybody. An emergency triage, and the media has controlled the narrative. Again, it's, oh my God, the red flags keep on coming. An emergency triage centre has been set up at Christchurch Hospital, blah, 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 and it's been locked down. A second shooter was reported at another mosque in Lynwood, a separate suburb in Christchurch. Police confirmed to News Hub it was a simultaneous attack launched across multiple locations. All schools in Christchurch have been placed into emergency lockdown, and Hagley Park, which neighbours the first mosque, has been blocked off by police officers. Residents of the city have been warned to stay inside. And now we're going to go to the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, and her take on this. Now, I want you to go on instinct, ladies and gentlemen. When I say that, I'm not saying just go with your gut and everything like that, but had a conversation a number of times during the last week on the interviews on the show. And goddamn, there's been some fine scholars and gentlemen that have been on the show this last week or two, ladies and gentlemen. I can't repeat to you enough how much I respect these men and the knowledge they bring. Part of the conversation was about how when you see something that is not real, there is a part of your brain that goes, you know, something's off here. And it's the same when you've got a genuine person versus a fake person. Your brain immediately goes, something wrong here with this fake person, you know, that kind of thing. You don't know exactly what it is, but it just comes off as not genuine. And I want you to bear that in mind, and bear in mind what a genuine emotional reaction looks like while we watch this video of the Prime Minister, folks.
It is with extreme sadness that I tell you that as at 7 p.m. tonight...
It's with extreme sadness that... I tell you, she sounds real sad, right? There's a twinge in her voice. Nothing? She's just reading it like she's reading a script and there's no emotional connection there whatsoever. Did you guys detect that too? I did.
We believe that 40 people have lost their lives in this act of extreme violence. 10 have died at Lynwood Avenue Mosque, 3 of which were outside the mosque itself. A further 30 have been killed at Dean's Avenue Mosque. There are also more than 20 seriously injured who are currently in Christchurch A&E. It is clear that this can now only be described as a
terrorist attack, for which we need more anti-terror laws and stuff like that. Oh, and just like that, the thing freezes. That's freaking great, isn't it? Damn you, News Hub!
Good morning.
Here we go.
We were arrested.
Wait a second. Where are we?
One Australian citizen. Only transfer that has taken place. I am advised that we are being treated for injuries at Christchurch Hospital.
Yeah, there we go. 36 seconds.
They have all been identified, and those names have been shared with members of the community.
Identified virtually instantly. You know, oh, we knew who did it. Don't worry, it's all good.
2 of those are in critical condition. and also a five-year-old child has been transported today to Starship Hospital in Auckland. This is the only transfer that has taken place. I am advised that the hospital is well equipped and coping well. There are available beds and seven acute theatres for those in need. Pathologists from throughout the country have made themselves available, and we have additional pathologists coming in from Australia.
Anybody
Three
bored?
People have been arrested in relation to this event.
Fuck me sideways. This is 10 minutes long, folks. I'm bored within seconds. Like, what are we up to? 90 seconds and I'm bored. All right. That was another thing that came up during the conversations on the show this week, is that people who aren't genuine sound really boring. They're hard to pay attention to, aren't they? It's terrible. We'll continue on with this.
An Australian citizen will appear in court today charged with murder. This individual has travelled around the world with sporadic periods of time spent in New Zealand.
Internationalist training? Black ops? Intelligence movements and things like that? That's what happens. They're all around the thing. And I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened, but that's just part of the pattern emerging.
They were not a resident of Christchurch. In fact, they were currently based in Dunedin at the time of this event. Inquiries are ongoing to establish whether the other two who were arrested were directly involved with this incident.
How could they not be involved if it was simultaneous attacks and they've... we caught all the people, don't worry. It's just... God, there's so many things that just don't make sense. And when something doesn't make sense, it's because somebody's lying. Somebody's not being genuine, or somebody doesn't know what they're talking about.
Fourth person who was arrested yesterday was a member of the public who was in possession of a firearm, but with the intention of assisting police. They have since been released.
You've got a firearm and you're trying to take out these people who are trying to take out innocent people. Let's arrest you. And then, because we're the only ones that are allowed guns here. You slaves can't defend us or defend yourselves. Just huddle in the corner and get headshotted while you lie bleeding in a pile. That's what you're supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen. Lay down. Allow yourself to be executed. It's freaky stuff watching this video, man.
Police are working to build a picture of anyone who might be involved and all of their activities prior to this event.
This reminds me. When you're being shot at, ladies and gentlemen, don't get down and huddle in a corner in plain view. Okay? Bullets go straight lines. If you stay still, it's much easier for a bullet to find you. If you run in a zigzag fashion and keep your goddamn head down, you find the nearest exit and make sure that whenever you're moving, you're always moving side to side, and you will stay alive a lot more likely than those people in that mosque who huddled together in a pile of bodies in each corner of it and just had round after round just blasted into them. This is fucking scary stuff, man. And people don't know how to get away from gunfire or how to react and stuff like that, such as we think we're so safe that we don't think that somebody would do this. And in our ignorance of that fact, we pay a heavy toll, ladies and gentlemen.
Those apprehended had a criminal history either here or in Australia.
They had a criminal history. There we go. And can you get a hold of firearms like that if you've got any criminal history? No, you cannot. Where the fuck did they get the firearms?
And as I said last night, they were not on any watch lists either here or in Australia. I want to be very clear, though, that our intelligence community and police are focused on extremism of every kind. given global indicators around far-right extremism.
Here we go.
Our intelligence community...
There's a left-wing prime minister talking about far-right extremism, turn everybody against everybody, you know, that kind of thing. Here we go.
...community has been stepping up their investigations in this area. The individual charged with murder had not come to the attention of the intelligence community, nor the police.
Probably because he was already a part of it, you know, and they sent him in there.
For extremism. I have asked our agencies this morning to work swiftly on assessing whether there was any activity on social media or otherwise that should have triggered a response. That work is already underway. Today, as the country grieves...
Oh, it's a failure of intelligence, and the country is not grieving. Ladies and gentlemen, I felt grief. You see this microphone here? This was the property of Evelyn Gilbert, and you can search up on my YouTube channel playlist, RIP Evelyn Gilbert, and see all the interviews I did with this wonderful lady. When she died, I couldn't really move or think for days. After I filmed her funeral, I had to edit her funeral, and I was at this desk, at this keyboard, just bawling my eyes out extraordinarily hard because she was such a good friend of mine. That is grief. The country is not in grief right now. Jacinda Ardern is not in grief right now. Few of us, if any, know what grief even feels like. And it's an empty platitude to say, oh, the whole country's in grief now. Really, are they? I'm not in grief. I didn't know any of these people. Their deaths do not affect me. That's what the vast majority of people will think and say, and probably rightly so. Unless you know what it's like to have someone so close to you that it matters die, you don't know the feeling that the relatives of these victims are having right now. And I just wanted to sort of define that for people, is that a lack of genuine compassion is often shown by the people in power as they use these empty platitudes to make themselves appear genuine, you know?
We are seeking answers. I want to speak specifically about the firearms used in this terrorist act. I'm advised that there were 5 guns used.
Hold on a second. Terrorist act? He's been charged with murder, not terrorism. So technically, you know, a little bit different, isn't it? But with anti-terror legislation, which will be justified pretty short in short order, I assume, they need the word terrorism out there in the public consciousness. Even if it's not on the legal documents, it doesn't matter. As long as the public associates it with a terrorist attack, that's all good. Because, hey, then we can have all sorts of anti-terror legislation to take all away your remaining freedoms.
By the primary perpetrator. There were 2 semi-automatic weapons and 2 shotguns. The offender was in possession of a gun license. I'm advised that this was acquired in November of 2017. A lever-action firearm was also found. While work has been done as to the chain of events that led to both the holding of this gun licence and the possession of these weapons, I can tell you one thing right now. Our gun laws will change.
So, there we go.
There have been attempts to change our laws in 2005... 2012, and after an inquiry in 2017. Now is the time for change.
See, beautiful false flag right there, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, our gun laws that are now so restricted that you can't even frickin' go duck hunting without enormous amounts of frickin' paperwork and background checks and so on and so forth. Nah, they're not good enough, mate. The fact that you have to have a safe bolted to the floor and the wall to install your guns in and stuff like that. What happens when somebody walks into your house that wants to kill you? Oh, excuse me, I just need to unlock my safe. You're dead. Okay? The government wants you dead, ladies and gentlemen, and they're coming for your firearms, and we've just confirmed it. They want legislative changes within 24 hours of this incident, goddammit! This is a fucking planned agenda. It's a fucking planned agenda. Goddammit.
There are obviously questions being asked of how this person was able to enter the country and undertake this act of terror. I have instructed ODES to report to Cabinet on Monday on this sequence of events with a view to strengthening our systems on a range of fronts, including but not limited to firearms, border controls, enhanced information sharing with Australia, mm-hmm. and any practical reinforcement of our watch list processes.
So it's... they're just tailoring a whole bunch of New World Order justifying things. And look at this fake grimace here. Oh, I'm so sad that we're going to take all your freedoms off you for my Freemason sponsors. I'm so sad about that.
I want to come now to what people can expect over the course of the day and beyond. The safety of New Zealanders is our highest priority. New Zealand police remain on high alert. Christchurch residents are strongly urged to stay home if possible and stay safe.
The people have been caught. The fuck are you staying around inside for? So that you can watch the news about the shit that's already happened and have them repeat to you the same lies over and over and over and over and over and over until you can't forget them. Is that what they want you to do?
Please monitor the police website and social media for further information. If you see something suspicious, then please call 111 immediately.
Do you know what happens every time somebody comes after a terrorist incident and says, hey, if you see something suspicious, call 111 immediately? A billion calls come in that are all about nothing and just clog the entire system. She's fighting back a smile here. Look at this. Anybody buying this? Is anybody buying it?
A number of events are being held across the country today, and there will be an increased police presence. Police.
So now we have justification for police everywhere. Now, where does the firearms come into it? Police are all going to be armed. Wait for it.
Have additional patrols out on the streets of Christchurch to reassure the community. They have flown in 45 additional police staff to Christchurch, with a further 80 staff arriving today. The additional police staffing includes public safety teams, detectives, tactical specialists and intelligence support. Staff from other DHBs have offered support as required.
Ladies and gentlemen, me, Ben Vigin, Ole Damegaard and Kurt Haskell, just the four of us that have participated and been party to this broadcast with our materials and everything like that, have gotten more done than all of the entire government's apparatus with thousands of scum working for them. Okay? You don't need a cast of thousands to get something done, ladies and gentlemen, and get it done well.
There will be additional support provided in Christchurch for mental health and psychosocial needs. If anyone...
So what they're going to do is they're going to traumatise the public and say, hey, come into our centres and we're going to drug you up on pharmaceutical drugs. Oh, yeah? What are the side effects of those? Murder, suicide. Okay.
One needs to speak to someone, or if they're feeling distressed in any way, I encourage you to call or text 1737. There are extra staff available. That number to call or text again is 1737. And that line is available to anyone, whether they've been directly involved in these incidents, whether they're residents or Christchurch or not, anyone in New Zealand who's feeling any kind of distress.
Anybody who's feeling any kind of distress in the entire country, just call this number, you know. No matter if it's like a real important priority or something like that, no, it's just because of this incident. Never mind that we've got the largest homeless population in the world now per capita. Never mind that people can't afford homes or anything like that. No. Those stresses, you just fucking deal with them, New Zealand. But a couple of people that you didn't know getting executed by one of our agents, we're gonna make sure that you've got all the support you need.
The police are aware of distressing material relating to this event being online and reminding people it is an offence to distribute objectionable material. I want to touch briefly on...
I could get frickin' arrested, ladies and gentlemen, for sharing that material. And what they do is they say, objectionable material. Doesn't that sound remarkably fucking vague? So that they could ban anything they don't want people to see?
...activity to date and the response that occurred yesterday. So just to recap... Police immediately secured the areas involved and ensured that people were kept safe, including schools and offices being locked down.
They immediately secured all the areas, and this goes back to one of Haskell's original points. I'm not 100% sure how quick the cleanup operation was, but he said within it that there was a coordinated effort that just got there, whole bunches of forces all of a sudden, how could they have done that so quickly? It's false flag. Let alone all the other signs of a false flag that we've already confirmed have happened at this event. And we've also confirmed what the agenda is. Take your guns off you, take your freedoms off you, put a hell of a lot more troops on the street, and Bob's your uncle, you're living in a goddamn new world order. With the legal framework set to take anybody out, at any time, for any reason they want, with really, really vague fucking guidelines.
Police made arrests swiftly. And as I've said, a man will appear in court this morning.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to find somebody who's perpetrated a crime and arrest them after the fact? It probably like 40, 50 or something, like nearly 60% of all murders, I think it was, go unsolved. All right. 50% of the solved murders, it's because somebody you loved or a family member or something like that killed you. So, you know, it's pretty easy to track them down. Oh, do you have any disputes with any of your family members? Yeah, that guy over there. Okay, let's go ask him some questions. Oh, you've got blood all over you. Okay, yeah, we're going to arrest you. Very easy. But when you've got a random shooting with somebody who can get in a car and go in any direction, has minutes upon minutes to go in any way they want, who could theoretically just be driving nice and slow, just like anybody else. You know, nobody would be any of the wiser. They could easily just slip into the mist. But this time, on the other hand, no, the police were there instantly. And they caught all of the people responsible immediately and identified them all immediately. Oh, well, that was lucky. That was really lucky.
Defence specialists quickly moved to assist police to make the improvised explosive devices safe. I want to make special mention of those who are involved in both the parts of the operation involving disarming explosive devices, but also undertaking the arrests themselves. Many of you may have seen the footage of the arrests, and I can only describe it as an act of bravery on behalf of all New Zealanders.
There you go. There's another point on Kurt Haskell's point, is that a hero story will come out a day or so after the incident. This is a day after the incident. Here's your hero story, ladies and gentlemen. The false flag narrative just keeps stacking up.
And an act that showed very little regard for their own personal safety. I'm sure everyone in New Zealand wants the acknowledgement of the police, but particularly the police officer who made that critical arrest yesterday.
Officer.
I also want to acknowledge ambulance staff who many will have seen acting swiftly under horrific conditions and all medical staff who continue to work with those who are injured.
And I hope sincerely that a lot of these guys... Here's the thing. Let's say this is a live drill and these people were in fact murdered and that kind of thing, which I'm leaning towards, live drill. I really want, my heart goes out is not only to the victims' family members and that kind of thing, but to the people who, unbeknownst, you know, like they're just coming in and they think this is a real thing and they're seeing all this blood and all these dead people and they're just trying to do their goddamn jobs. But this is going to stick with you, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to stick with this country, all right? You won't be able to forget it. And that's why they're repeating it on the media so long and hard, is to make sure that that shock and awe campaign stays with you forever. Remember the mosque shootings? Remember the mosque shootings? Anytime they want to justify any kind of totalitarian agenda, remember the mosque shooting? I can just see it now.
New Zealand Defence Force at Burnham Camp yesterday were put on standby to assist police in Christchurch.
The same Burnham Camp that soldiers from that camp specifically guard four High Court judges who live in one gated community in Nelson. Starting to pile up again.
Mosques around the country were provided with advice from police to help keep them secure and advice to remain closed.
Here's how we can keep you secure, by just not going to your places of worship that are so important to your culture that you have to go several times a day sometimes. You know, that kind of thing. Just close them, you know, just be safe. I think a showing of bravery of, no, we're going to our mosques anyway, we are going to pray. We are going to pray for the victims and all of this kind of stuff. None of that. No, just close them down. It's the only way to be safe. You know, close down your religion, mate. See? It's fucked for everybody.
This advice continues, as does the police presence at mosques around the country. The national threat level was raised to high, and that remains.
The national threat level, okay? It's up to orange today. It's up to red. That kind of thing, just get everybody with this aura of endless threat so that they abandon their reasoning processes, ladies and gentlemen.
This triggers a number of actions to help keep people safe, such as increased aviation and border security.
Yeah, because obviously that works so well when TSA has been found recently, a couple of people tried it. They got a whole bunch of people to try and sneak stuff onto the planes, and about 60% of them got through. That's when you've got naked body scanners touching the fucking ball sack and all of that kind of shit. 60% of the illegal shit can come through. No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a farce. All the security and all of the measurements that they are putting out right now is just a farce. I can assure you, because it doesn't work, it doesn't help, it doesn't prevent incidents. Now, if you want to argue with me on that, name me one terrorist incident that's been stopped by the authorities, unless the authorities themselves actually instigated the incident just as a big scare tactic and they specifically gave the terrorist a bomb that didn't work. You know? Good luck trying to name that one. They don't exist because terrorism is a government activity, not something the general public engage in.
A number of specialist family liaison staff were deployed. Close liaison has been established with the Muslim community and other key people in Christchurch. Police and the wider government will be working with leaders and members of the Islamic community to provide assistance, reassurance and support. An 0800 number established to register missing persons, 0800 115019, and a website, Restoring Family Links. MFAT are acting as a liaison point for foreign governments.
Whoa. The same MFAT that we learned in Ben Vigen's article tags suspicious ships as being immune from inspections by border security. How did these people get their weapons into the country in an island nation thousands of kilometres from our nearest neighbour? You know, that kind of thing.
Representation for any foreign nations involved is being provided. At this stage, understand those involved include Pakistan, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and Malaysia. MFAT staff are dealing with offers of assistance and, of course, receiving a significant number of condolence messages. Deputy Commissioner Māori and Ethnic Services Wally Homaha has travelled to Christchurch alongside 15 additional ethnic liaison officers to support the community.
Ethnic liaison officers. Okay, so here's the thing. She's white and they're not. So we need ethnic liaisons, you know. It's not like white people can have compassion and give a shit about other people. It's not like white people built this country and everybody benefits from its technology and apparatus and culture, does it? No. We need cultural diplomats. Okay, divide and conquer. We're all different. We all fucking bleed red.
These specialists will work alongside local staff to support the families involved. They are assisting to repatriate them with their loved ones in a way that is consistent with Muslim beliefs, while taking into account these particular circumstances and obligations to the coroner. I want to finish by saying that while the nation grapples with a form of grief and anger that we have not experienced before, we are seeking answers. After this media conference, I will board a Defence Force plane and travel to Christchurch. I will have other political leaders with me, including the leader of the opposition. As is the entire nation, we are all unified in grieving together.
Yeah, because she can speak for the entire nation. All right, so that's that, ladies and gentlemen. That Jacinda Ardern thing, and there's a huge frickin' article here as well. Do I want to go through this also? I'm feeling kind of tired, like I need another break, actually, ladies and gentlemen. So I'll tell you what, I'll be showing you a little bit more of that emergency mainstream media stuff while I go and get myself another coffee and some more water. So hopefully you'll enjoy this. And can you come on Ground Zero tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time? I've got so many people trying to contact me for interviews and things like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back in a
minute. Well, I can't describe what happens in every single school, but typically the curtains would be closed and the doors would be locked, and the children would have a safe place where they would be sheltering during this lockdown procedure.
You say sheltering, they wouldn't stay at their desks?
I'm sure they wouldn't be staying at their desks. Now, obviously, in terms of the location of where the situation is happening, and I'm not in Christchurch at the moment, I'm in Auckland, so I'm unsure about the location of these terrible events. I'm confident that teachers will be taking care of the individual young people in their care.
What training do teachers receive?
Well, typically, schools have procedures in place that they will be well versed with, and they would have regular practice runs with this, just like we do fire drills and earthquake drills as well. And some of our schools have worked with professional companies who have brought product into the school. And so all I can say is that in this instance here, it's a tragic event that's happened in Christchurch, and our parents should feel assured that once the police have dealt with what they need to do, they will be, via television and media, of course, allowing parents to go and pick up their children.
Are teachers trained to deal with the psychological impact, the fear?
Well, I think it's premature for me to be able to comment in this regard. And obviously Christchurch has been through a huge ordeal with the earthquakes in the past. Teachers will be responding in a caring manner with the heart that they have to ensure that the young people are feeling safe in their classrooms, sitting there now waiting until this whole situation is resolved. And obviously there'll be some flow-on impacts into the coming days and coming weeks at school. And I'm confident the Ministry of Education, who have an active trauma response team, will be working closely with our school leaders in the coming weeks and months and so forth.
Fethu Cormack from the Principals Federation, thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go back and hear what Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern had to say a short time ago.
Presently, the police do have one suspect in custody. However, there could be others involved. Also, there are multiple scenes involved in this incident as well, and police will be giving more details as they can as the situation unfolds. Whilst I cannot give any confirmation at this stage around fatalities and casualties, what I can say is that it is clear that this is one of New Zealand's darkest days. Clearly, what has happened here is an extraordinary and unprecedented act of violence. many of those who will have been directly affected by this shooting may be migrants to New Zealand. They may even be refugees here. They have chosen to make New Zealand their home, and it is their home. They are us. The person who has perpetuated this violence against us is not.
I love it. Perpetuated this violence. No, it's perpetrated this violence, honey. Oh, my God. Okay, there's the statements. What we know as of 11:55 a.m. on Saturday. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'm actually quite tired now. Oh boy, am I tired now. I'm just going to try and... unable to connect to chat. Please try again later. Oh, that's not good. How is the... All right, ladies and gentlemen, maybe we're... maybe we've screwed this up, screwed the pooch on this one a little bit. The chat doesn't seem to be working anymore. Did my goddamn channel get taken down? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. The content was removed to a violation of our fucking guidelines. God damn it! Fuck! Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. God, community guidelines strike. I didn't even show the fucking video. For harassment and bullying. Appeal this decision. I was reading out and analysing mainstream and alternative media pieces on the show, on the shooting in Christchurch. Fuck, ladies and gentlemen, you won't be able to see this. They've already taken me down. Fuck. Sorry, folks.